Hey, this is Zep, and on behalf of the guys, Stru, Boomer, and Lukey, we want to thank you for downloading and listening to our podcast of The Ticket Outdoors, brought to you by Mills Fleet Farm. And remember, when nothing's going right, just go fishing.
The countdown is on. Fishing season is days away, and Mills Fleet Farm has hook, line, sinker, and more. The Abu Garcia Cardinal S spinning reel is on sale, just $24.99. A two-piece ugly stick light spinning rod is just $14.97. Spider wire stealth braid line is $4.99 after rebate. Rapala Shad Wrap lures, including our exclusive colors, $4.99 each. And get your fishing license at Mills Fleet Farm, now open in Mankato. Love it.
It's time for Ticket Outdoors on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Custom Truck Accessories, Jason Homer, Casting for Cures. Got a whole big crowd tonight. Zep is back. Welcome back, Zep. Did you fix that microphone for Boomer?
Well, his microphone, Boom's microphone is working, unfortunately.
you better dial the volume back, brother.
There we
go. Jacked on caffeine.
That's right.
Let's do this.
I don't know if your headphones are working, though.
The right one is.
Oh, well, you only need one, right?
And I have one hand holding in the microphone.
my friend, Zep, we missed you on Saturday. Was that Sunday? What day was it?
Saturday. I went to the wrong Muskie Festival, sorry. Expo, I mean.
God, you want to talk about some excited fishing men and women. You go to that Muskie Expo, and it's like a cult.
It really is. I mean, those are your super passionate, what's another word we use for it, psychotic?
Yeah,
right.
We fit in that bucket.
It's right. Like you
Absolutely.
Feel like, who was it? Was it James Jones? You feel like you walk in, you can drink the lemonade or the Kool-Aid, whatever that
Jim
was.
Jim Jones.
Yeah. Well, that's what it feels like. It was pretty...
like a massacre?
I tell you, it's pretty exciting down there. Those people are addictive.
Well, I tell you what a great past couple of days it's been. I mean, I got to go to the Rainy River, chase some big walleyes with Thane and Mike from HMG, get into some sturgeon, and Dan Southside Marine, can't thank those guys enough for what an awesome job they did on rigging up the Alumacraft T-Pro and getting that 200 horses of Suzuki ready to go.
Did you scuff it?
No scratches in that boat. All I remember we docked one time, and Thane can attest to it. I was pretty anal about making sure that it was safely away. And then, guys, we'll talk about it a little later, but Zep, South Dakota, Minnesota, border water walleye opener, baby.
Yeah.
This weekend.
Yeah, it is this weekend, too. And Thane's in with us today. We're going to be talking some gobblers.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about turkey hunting. That opens this weekend in Minnesota, too. Zep, what'd you do last week? What'd you have going on this weekend?
I don't recall. It was something for Ticket Outdoors. I was pretty committed. I was pretty much spent my weekend.
Yeah.
I was out Ticket Out shaking hands, handing out flyers, bumper stickers.
Knocking on doors.
You were out there scouting and saying hello to the general public.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Always working. I'm tireless. Yeah. You know that. What? How about the? We got to thank our buddy David Orrick, don't we?
Oh
yeah.
TwinCities.com.
What do you think?
I expected a little more for what we paid him. But
wow.
Not bad. No. It's a TwinCities.com. Dave. Obviously, it must be a slow time of the year for him.
No. I've been on his ass for about 2 years doing this.
Just to shut you up.
Just to shut me up. So, Dave, I won't bother you for guests again, but thank you very much for that wonderful article in the outdoor section of the St. Paul Pioneer Press last Sunday. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to say this sincerely. I think we deserve it. There's nothing better in the I mean that sincerely. There's nothing better in the Twin Cities as far as outdoors, hunting and fishing. We're having a lot of fun, and we have a lot of good listeners, and I'm proud of what we've done, and thank you, David Orrick, for recognizing that.
Yeah, I just got to echo those comments. I mean, I was like a little school kid. You know, Stru sent me the text saying, check the St. Paul Pioneer Press. I was gone out of the house to get a couple newspapers.
It's I don't care. I've been in radio for 25 years. Maybe you did one thing on TV where they caught you picking your nose or something. But to get in the paper is still, I think it's a big deal.
Especially
it's
the Pioneer Press. That's big time.
Yeah.
And
I'll
tell you what, though. Hey, Dave, my old
friend
Dave.
That's the only paper left in town, right?
I look older than I really do in real life. So that's, I wasn't real pleased with the photography. But
you looked great, buddy.
Minneapolis St. Paul Magazine would have airbrushed that out.
I'm sure they would have.
And for our listeners out there that want to take a look at that article from the St. Paul Pioneer Press talking about our 100 shows, go to facebook.com/theticketoutdoors and make sure to give us a like.
Yeah. Sounds good.
It's fun. And you wouldn't believe all the people who have – I play senior softball still every couple of days a week, and all the guys come up to me. And so a lot of people are listening to the show and reading the St. Paul Pioneer Press at the same time. So we all benefit. Thank you very much for David Orrick.
Mike Schnupp, that show, A Force TV show.
Yeah.
I didn't get a chance to watch it. I've been busy. I'm just looking at our guest here for the next couple of hours. Mike Schnupp is called.
Can I tell you what I found? You guys
can't
see this.
He's a Georgia boy. And on Air Force. He's in the Air Force,
yeah, right,
too.
You listeners can't see this, but Brian's eyes lit up. He thought it was Schnapps.
But
he got all excited for a couple of seconds there.
Hey, who's this Jason Homer cat we got in here again, huh?
Jason Homer, he's not back, is he?
Never heard of him.
There's his voice. It's in my 5 o'clock. I know what would that be, right over there, about the 7 o'clock. Jace, Casting for Cure, it's not his time yet.
No, it's not his time, so be quiet.
But Casting for Cure, Jace, now that we've got you on and we've broken the ice here tonight, welcome back to Ticket Outdoors.
Thanks, happy tax day.
Happy tax day.
Oh, I got a story about taxes for you guys.
Can't wait to hear it.
Yeah, exactly. A song, perhaps?
No, okay. But a serious story. We'll talk. Jason's not a big shot, Jeff, but I'm a big shot.
Well, Jason,
are you going to give us the tax story right now?
Yeah, right now.
Do you want a drum roll?
My accountant, who we've known for many, many years, John Mark Patton, great guy. He's great. He's been my financial guy for many, many years.
Oh, he's going to be drunk at midnight.
No. He says, I got to come over Sunday. He's going to come over Sunday. I've got to talk to you about what you got as pay this year. It's a little more than I anticipated.
Yeah.
He thought we owed about $40,000. For 2014, payable 2015.
Sounds like a good accountant. Can I get him?
Yeah.
It turned out there was like one extra zero or something. It turned out to be a lot less than that. But we had a couple bottles of wine, but he scared the hell out of me for a long, long time. So he's going back to redo his tax breakers. So
John Mark Holder.
Call John Mark Patton. You can call him.
For our listeners, and we love Struve to death as much as we give each other crap back and forth.
Yeah.
If you don't know Struve, he is this unbelievable character with lots of positive energy, great guest recruiter, but he's a cheap son of a beep.
Yes, right? I am.
I mean, when we go out to eat before the show, I mean, he won't spend a nickel. So to see the look on your face when this guy said you owe Uncle Sam $40,000 had to be priceless.
Well, yeah. I went from the good wine to Boone's Farm real quick, I'll tell you. But, he's a good guy.
The weather's nice and warm. Yeah. It almost feels like Colorado-ish, 70-ish degrees, that mountain breeze. It's just kind of nice to be outside.
They've got that app that tells you what happened a year ago on your social media. That app. My daughter got me that app. And so I went back, and I think it's so I would quit forgetting their birthdays and graduations, that sort of thing. But
you use the Facebook
36
reminder.
36 degrees today, last year, at this end. 36 degrees. So, yeah, we're living the good life.
And I was shooting 18 holes at Como this afternoon, or late this morning. So, and I didn't get hurt and shot an 88, and that's okay. And that was a lot of fun.
You know what? I think there's just general excitement about this cabin fever breaking through it in Minnesota. Guys, at the Rainy River last weekend, there was almost over 2,000 boats on that stretch of river where we started up at 4 Mile Bay, where Wigwam was, all the way down to Frontier Landing, which is like 16 miles east, I believe, of Baudette. Can you imagine that? 2,000
I can
boats.
Not only imagine it, but I can also feel a disdain for it. It doesn't sound like fun to me. I just can't. And Fane's gonna throw in his two cents in half an hour, so when we talk to him about the turkey hunting and here's my gear and all the kind of good stuff. But I don't want to be bumping bumpers with other boats and casting lures at other people. And
but you know, half of it has to
where
do
did you
with
pee? It's, how it's, do you pee if you got that many boats?
Dude, I just let her go.
I bet you did.
I just let her go. Yeah. No, but you know what? It's something just unbelievable about how many fish from a million acre lake come into this funnel of river that you can catch, as well as Struve. We can't really fish walleyes in the state of Minnesota till that Mother's Day weekend.
I understand that.
The home of Brian Zepp, South Dakota border water.
And the nice weather is perfect for getting out on the open water for walleye openers. We've got Thane from Here's My Gear. We're going to talk turkeys a little bit later on in the show, and I want to talk to him about, because I always hate going in the field when the weather's too nice.
Yes.
You almost want that lousy weather, cold weather, maybe a little lousy weather is a little easier. I don't know how that affects the turkey hunt. We'll talk to him about
He's the man to
Guys,
talk to us
we want to bring
it.
On to the show right now, Dave Johnson, Custom Truck Accessories. We mentioned last Wednesday they've got a Wednesday event that they're doing up at Custom Truck Accessories, one of our sponsors in Ham Lake. Dave, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, welcome to Ticket Outdoors, man.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for the money.
Make the world go round.
Yeah, what goes around comes around. We're putting money in his pocket as well.
Custom truck accessories, that's kind of a year-round thing. But spring, everybody, there's a lot of great reasons to get your truck accessories. And you guys are doing kind of a, what is it, an open house on Wednesday? Oh, no, you've got a swap meet, I know.
Yeah, we got a truck and Jeep show and swap meet and hot dogs, hamburgers, just have a good time. And, you know, car guys like to hang out with car guys and truck guys.
And swap meets.
We're just having fun.
Yeah, swap meets make the world go around. I know guys and gals, mostly guys, that just live for those swap meets.
Ray Eric might be one of those guys.
My pops is one of those guys.
Absolutely. So well, tell us, and this happening, are you doing this every Wednesday, first Wednesday of the month? How's that working?
We're going to be doing it every Wednesday from 4 till 9, 10 o'clock, whenever everybody wants to leave. We'll have hamburgers, hot dogs, and just have a good time.
Straight up Central on in Ham Lake. I can't miss Custom Truck Accessories. And what are we, 10 minutes into the 7 o'clock hour? So if you're out there tooling around right now, they could head up there right now, especially if you're on the north side of the metro and you've got some burgers and dogs going too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Every Wednesday?
Yep, every Wednesday this summer.
All right. Well, that sounds like a pretty good setup, Stru.
Hey, Dave, Struman here. Thanks for being the sponsor for the Ticket Outdoors. And I'll tell you what, I was on your Facebook page and everything, your website today. I tell you what, you guys don't discriminate as far as the type of products you're selling. You've got everything from Access to Raptor to Watson. I mean, Weston, you've got, I don't know how many people, how many products you guys have, but you guys are huge.
I don't even.
We've actually got about a 24,000 square foot warehouse full of truck goodies.
Unbelievable. Oh, I was very, very impressed. Goodness. Unfortunately, I don't have a truck. I got a 10-speed.
But, hey, we can get you set up.
Hey, Dave.
We got streamers and bells, man.
There you go. Thanks a lot.
Dave Boomer from the Ticket Outdoors. I just want to say thanks again for being a sponsor of our show. And question for you. I'm always coming at this from the hunting or fishing angle. What are some cool things that folks that like to hunt and fish, when they get out there on Wednesday nights, they can see in that 24,000 square foot distribution center of yours?
You know, we've got a lot of toppers. Toppers are big. Access covers are big. We've got some really, really neat Aries seat covers. They're called seat defenders. Throw them on the back. They go on quick. If your dogs don't tear your seats up. I got great floor mats when you're getting in and out. We got Aries. We got WeatherTech, and we've got Husky floor mats. Really a lot of protection stuff to keep the interior stuff, your truck clean, so it's easy to clean up and get you back going again.
Now, dogs and being out in the field, they'll make a quick mess of the inside of a truck.
Oh,
yes,
in a heartbeat.
It happens in a hurry.
And then you get the kids in there and you have to take them to school or something like, yeah, truck stinks, Dad.
Yeah.
Like, that's you.
And my dog comes to work with me every day, so he's always making a mess.
Hey, Dave, tell us the history behind custom truck accessories. How long has it been around and how long have you been involved?
It started in 1981. My dad and my brother started it, and I worked for them when I got out of high school. And they sold out in 2004 to 70 employees, and we really felt the customer service wasn't like what we wanted it to be, and ended up taking it back last year.
Wow.
And so I took it over in June, and we're trying to rebuild and do things treat people the way we think they should be treated.
Good for you.
Get back to customer service.
Good for you.
Dave Johnston, latest generation running custom truck accessories up Central Avenue in Ham Lake. You've got the Jeep and the truck show going till 9 o'clock tonight and every Wednesday night right on through the summer. We talked about the swap meet. Tell us about the Jeep and truck show. What are some cool wheels sitting out there?
We've got ICI as a manufacturer that makes custom truck accessories. They make some bars, some boards, some bumpers. We've got their factory truck up here today. We've got some customer vehicles up here that are pretty sharp. We've also got one of our friends down the road's got a Jeep Wrangler with a 5.9 Hemi in it. It's got a little lift in it. It's here. We got some fun stuff to look at.
All right. You guys have got it open till 9 o'clock tonight. And, wow, what a beautiful night to tool on up there and get some free chow, check out the swap meet, all the wheels.
Fun.
And
accessory
up.
Pardon?
Oh, no, I was just sort of wrapping it up in an awkward way there.
Sorry about that.
No, that's quite all right. Dave, I'll let you get back to it. Thanks for checking in with us tonight. One of these Wednesday nights when we wrap up, we'll zoom on up the road and check out the good times.
Sounds great. Have a good night, guys.
All right, thanks. Dave Johnston, Custom Truck Accessories up in Ham Lake till 9 o'clock tonight and every Wednesday night with the Jeep and swap meet and the chow and all that good stuff. Jason Homer, Casting for Cures Benefit. We're on the doorstep Friday night. You guys ready?
We're working on it, man. It just keeps getting better and better, man. I'm telling you, our head's been spinning getting this thing getting ramped up with all the stuff that's been falling in our lap here. We're super grateful, but really excited to tell you guys about it.
Well, let's come back and talk about it. We might bug you about a little bit of fishing, too.
Hey, I can be talked into talking about that a little bit.
Be right back and take it outdoors.
It's time to get fired up for some Wild playoff hockey. Join Radioactive Sports at Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub before the game. The superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson will be live at Tom Reed's from 4 to 7 in the afternoon for weekday home playoff games. Get to St. Paul early for live pregame Stanley Cup coverage on the show. Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub is right next to Xcel Energy Center on West 7th Street. The Radioactive Sports broadcasts are presented by Rogaszewski, Rogaszewski & Atkins. Cup coverage you can count on. Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
For a jump on pesky weeds, get Preen Weed Preventer from Mills Fleet Farm. Choose from Preen with or without plant food or Organic Vegetable Garden Weed Preventer. Just $11.99 each. Get your laundry clean and smelling fresh with extra laundry detergent and extra fabric softener. On sale, too, for $4.98. After the work is done, relax on an Adirondack patio chair. They come in assorted colors. On sale, $14.99 each at Mills Fleet Farm. Now open in Mankato.
Smokes! That's the fourth straight kill shot.
I've been getting in some practice.
Is that a new rifle, too?
Yep. Traded for it.
Make that five.
Lakes Trading Company. Buy, sell, trade, and receive expert firearms training. Permit to carry classes are also available at the indoor range. LakesTradingCo.com.
If you love the outdoors, then you probably have a truck that you love too. Custom Truck Accessories can help protect your truck from the rigors of outdoor activities. They have custom seat covers and floor mats to protect against the mud and dirt from the field. Toppers and tonneau covers to protect your gear. If you're a truck guy, you'll appreciate the knowledge and experience of the Custom Truck Accessories crew. Visit CustomTruckAccess.com or stop by their store to see what a difference being family owned can make for you.
We at Dan's Southside Marine would like to redefine the term man's best friend to mean his boat. Now, before you get all tweaky, let's talk this through. Although your dog is fun, dependable, and great to take fishing, so is an Alumacraft Navigator 165CS. And while your dog may retrieve ducks with lightning speed, he'd have to be just a tick faster to pull you up for a slalom run like the Stingray 200 Bow Rider. And sure, your furry friend obeys your every command with heartbreaking enthusiasm, but think of the enthusiasm you'll feel watching the receptionist from the gym sunbathe on your Premier Pontoon Escapade 235. And finally, your boat will never drink too much lake water and throw up in your boat. To learn more about the best boats and motors in the Twin Cities, or to complain about the dog thing, visit Dan's Southside Marine.
You'll not find a bigger inventory of Premier Pontoons and Alumacraft boats anywhere in the Twin Cities. Don't wait. Now's the time to buy. Any boat you see online is available for sale at Dan's Southside Marine.
Now back to Ticket Outdoors, only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
All right, don't forget, kids, we rerun this Sunday mornings at 6 o'clock, and the podcast available usually by Friday at 105theticket.com. You need new tires before going on your next road trip? This is when we put the miles on. Have the good tread. Fleet Farm carries all the best brands. Michelin, BF Goodrich, Cooper, Roadrunner, and many more at Fleet Farm. All right, guys, here we go. Rock and roll.
Everyone asked Zip, how was your weekend, Zip? What did you do last weekend? Everyone asked Boomer, what did you do? No one asked Drew, man, what I did last week.
What did you do last weekend?
I did the Muskie Expo, which was fun, but I forgot to tell you guys that I went up to, and I'm not sure if Mark made it up there or not, but I went up to the Lakes Trading Company up in Forest Lake.
Yeah.
The gun range, and I'll tell you what, I didn't shoot. There were so many people up there.
Yeah.
And the lanes were all filled up, and there's people in line getting ready to shoot and all that. It's one hell of a place to go check it out. So if you have any interest in all in shooting the guns and checking out the pistols and whatnot, Lakes Trading Company just off of Highway 61 in Forest Lake is the place.
10 25-yard lanes, I believe, and it's a newer facility, so I'm sure it's all state-of-the-art. And we'll get up there and do some shooting. I'll take you up there.
I've never shot a pistol, so you got to help me out,
We'll
pal.
Let you shoot the old 22 or something.
I can do
like
that.
Okay.
I can do that.
Well, the 9mm you can handle.
Lakes Trading Company, thanks for being a sponsor. I'll tell you what, good place to go.
Absolutely. Jason, welcome back to Ticket Outdoors. Yeah. I guess the second time I mentioned that to you here on this show, but we were talking off-air that every time we have you on the show and we run into you, there's something else that you do that I wasn't aware. I mean, you must have a resume that's a phone book or something, really. I'm looking here. It says, Jason, also a member of the Minnesota DNR Fisheries Council, heavily involved in the Mille Lacs scenarios, Should we just jump in right now since I broke the ice? Should we?
Whatever we want to do. I'm just glad I'm on the opposite side of the walleye guy in the room.
Right, I know. We got you. We got the walleye and the bass guy on separate corners of the 105 studio.
Hold on, let me put a hot dog
Boomer's
on a hook.
Over there getting toweled down, water dumped over his head.
This and wolf hunting just get me where I need to be.
He's president. He's president. He's president of the Bruce Jenner fan club, and we're learning a lot about you.
Well, we got Casting for Cure as the big benefit this Friday, and we're going to spend some time with that. But
Oh, there goes the bomber. I got another bass.
I got to turn that.
Us bass guys are always using bombers, man. That's
grab the worms.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, okay. Like I said, if I wanted to work, I wouldn't go fishing.
Nah, I know. All right.
Relax.
Sorry.
Cole, are you done over there?
I'm good.
Down
Sorry.
Boy. You know what is nice about going bass fishing? I can keep more than one. I can feed myself later that. No, I'm just teasing. Well, let's talk about it a little
bit.
I'm
going to have to fight everybody in here.
Facebook.com/theticketoutdoors.
Exactly. Well, no, let's talk about it a little bit. We really haven't gotten into it in the last, about a week and a half since the DNR announced that they went ahead and cut that very generous limit on Mille Lacs this year from 2 to 1. Is it 18 to 22 inches?
19 to 21
Thank
inches.
Thank you.
Is it 19-21?
Last year was 18-20. This year is 19-21.
Okay. And one over 28, correct?
Yeah. Or one over 28, because you only allow us to keep one this year, council.
Yep.
So it's,
and no culling, so you better get the big one first.
Right. Oh, yeah, and the night fishing restrictions, are they a little tighter this year then?
I haven't heard an update on that yet.
Yes, the first 48 hours you can night fish, and then I think opens on May 8th, and then on May 10th, effective, like, 10 p.m. to 6 a.m., there is a night ban on Mille
Lacs. Well, Jason, you're a member of the Minnesota DNR Fisheries Council and heavily involved with Mille Lacs up there. Let's, you know, we talked about this a lot last year, and we can joke and trash talk here a little bit, but there's a lot of business affected up there that needs to be taken pretty seriously. Is there anything positive that's happening with this? I mean, we knew that the restrictions might get tighter after last year, and now they have gotten tighter. I mean, is it going in the right direction?
I think the most positive thing coming out of it is that people are starting to get educated on the fishery.
Yeah.
You know, I think part of there's a number of things that are happening up there.
Right.
In terms of the fishery and the management of the fishery, and we can talk all day about the mismanagement and you know, I may be letting some secrets out of the bag, but the DNR will admit to most of it. Part of the problem that we have, though, is that, you know, in terms of the businesses and stuff up there, there's a business model up there. You know, when I was a kid, if you went walleye fishing, you went to Mille Lacs.
Yeah.
That was the only game in town.
Right.
And the business boomed up there as a result. And there was this huge, very important heritage built around walleye fishing on Mille Lacs Lake. And that's very understandable. And the Mille Lacs Lake is the walleye up there is a special fish. It's a strain of walleye that's only in that lake.
Yes.
There's no other body of water in Minnesota that has the Mille Lacs strain walleye. But what's happened is as the internet has become a thing that we all go to before we go fishing a lot of times, forum boards have gotten more you know, accessible, and Facebook pages and social media, and people posting pictures and friends telling friends kind of thing.
Yeah.
a lot of anglers in Minnesota have realized, hey, there's a lot of lakes other than Mille Lacs that I can go to and catch great fish. I can keep more fish. I can put more dinner on the plate, whatever the case is. So I think that's also contributed, and I think people are overlooking that a little bit. But part of the problem, too, is that the slot limit on Mille Lacs Lake for walleyes was taking a lot of the males out of the system. Mm-hmm. And so there's a reproduction problem there now. And so I think by changing that slot, what the DNR is really doing is they're creating a better environment for the breeding males, because there is no shortage of big fish in that lake. As a smallmouth guy, I can catch 30-inch walleyes all day long up there, and I'm not exaggerating that. Okay. I mean, I've had days where I've met walleye guys at the landing and said, how was it out there today, guys? I saw you in the same spot behind me all day. Oh, we caught two fish. There's no fish left in here. Like, I caught 18 fish over 30 inches today. Fishing for smallmouth. Like,
son of a,
you know.
Well, we've talked about that on this show before. We're talking about, you know, you're not filling up the cooler, but I mean, but there's still great fishing up there. We're talking about what we can keep.
Yeah, and I think to Jason's point, too, Mille Lacs is still full of trophy fish.
Yeah.
I think part of the challenge is And the heritage walleye fisherman is used to fishing for that species and then taking meat home, which is different, you know, all kidding aside, than bass fishing, because most of the time when you're targeting largemouth or smallies, not a lot of people will throw those in the live well. When you're chasing walleyes, most guys and girls are going to want to put some in the live well. And so as we reduce that slaughter, the number of fish that you can keep in Mille Lacs, that is adding to some of this persona about the fishery. But to your point, Zep, there's still a lot of great stuff going on Mille Lacs right now.
Yeah.
If you like to pike fish, and I do like to chase northern pike because they're a heck of a fight, not necessarily the hammer handles, but I do like to catch some bigger ones. You know, you can keep, I think now in Mille Lacs, it's up to 10 pike, but 1 over 30 inches. But if you keep 1 over 30 inches, two of them have to be less than 30 inches, which is nice because I think that's going to help support bring the walleyes back. I don't remember the exact numbers, but I think it's like 5 or 6 large combo smallmouth bass you can keep.
Six, with
one being over 18 inches. But to your point, Jason, there is, Mille Lacs, as far as a smallmouth bass fishery, is probably top 5 in the world.
I would say that it was.
That's a big statement.
I would say that it was. I don't think that it is anymore.
You think it's gone down?
It's significantly declined with myself and all the other fishermen that I know that go up there chasing bass. And there's been a significant decline since the ability to keep fish.
Okay. Which has been in the, what, last year or two?
2 years. Yeah, we've had 2 years. And they also did not close the lake over the winter. So those fish were also, this year, it'll be very interesting this year because those fish were harvested all winter long. It's the only body of water in Minnesota that was allowed. So part of what there's a really good opportunity
for
people here.
Are you speaking specifically about bass?
Smallmouth bass, yes. Yep. Smallmouth bass specifically.
Well, I didn't know smallmouth bass bit in the winter. I didn't know
And they all sit in very large schools in very specific places. So when you find them, there's going to be a lot of action. Smallmouth closes in September in every other body of water in Minnesota. So it's interesting that Mille Lacs is left open. And probably not great for the fishery. One of the things that I think there's a huge opportunity, and one of the things I really want to do as sort of an ambassador here for the bass side of things is the education piece. And that's one of the things I've been talking a lot about with the DNR when we have our meetings and stuff, is that when you meet the average walleye guy in the bar up there at the restaurant or whatever, or the gas station on the way home, you smallmouth guys, we got to get those fish out of the lake. They're eating all the walleyes.
Right.
Could not be farther from the truth.
Right.
That's an emotional subject, too, for a lot of fishermen to talk about.
Absolutely, it is. And I've had a lot of those conversations, very heated in many, many cases.
Yeah.
But the reality is, and this is provable statistical fact, the smallmouth bass are eating high 90% of their diet is crayfish. The lake also has an invasive crayfish species. So the smallmouth are actually protecting the lake in a way from that species.
And I would agree with that, Jason, because Thane's talked about this a few times. When we catch those smallies and get into a nice group of them in, you know, May, June timeframe in May, you'll see the back of those smallmouth, remember, Thane, where they actually have sores on the top of their shoulders. And that's because those boys are going, girls are going into those rocks so hard, pounding after those crayfish, which is proof to the theory that you're talking about. And I would agree with you, Jason.
Really?
I don't think smallmouth bass are the reason we're having walleye changes.
And when you get into those, and when you're skirting them and looking for those areas, use your craze softs. I did last summer, and the smallies loved them. I mean, because they love the craze, especially in a place up in like Mille Lacs when you've got a lot of craze on the bottom. Go ahead and fish around with the craze. Yep. Jig them off the bottom, even if you want to, for smallmouth, and you're going to catch some. You're going to find the school.
And a really important point, and this is directed at the walleye guys to understand, is that the number one predator of walleyes in Mille Lacs Lake is walleyes.
I agree.
Big walleyes. It's stomach testing and everything shows that the larger walleyes, up to 20% of their diet is smaller walleyes.
You know what I'm excited about, though, as emotional as this subject can be for me, as you guys know, is that we are recognizing there is a problem. Because I can tell you from a tourism standpoint for this state, fishing brings a lot of dollars to the table. When I was at the Explore Minnesota, I mean, they talked about it being a $5 billion industry for us. We need to make sure we get Mille Lacs back on track for walleyes because
absolutely.
I just have, not that I think more people are going to travel. Fair statement, Jason. More people Absolutely. Will travel to the state to fish walleyes in Mille Lacs than they will smallmouth.
One really important point, and this is directed at my bass guys out there. We don't hate walleyes. And one of the things that drives me crazy is when I hear the walleye guys hate bass and the bass guys hate
there's
walleyes.
No real hate there.
But there's a lot of discussion out there where the walleye guys say, I'm going to slit every smallmouth belly I see. And the bass guys say, fine, we're going to slit every walleye guy we see. And
that's not going to get us anywhere.
Right, exactly. No. We're going to ruin one of the greatest fisheries this state knows, the country knows,
right?
And a real gem in terms of tourism, and we can bring it back.
Yeah. In fact, to echo your point about tourism and people knowing about Mille Lacs, when we were at the Muskie Expo, Zep, mm-hmm. we had an individual, Klaus from Switzerland.
Sweden.
And yeah. Schwarzbunker.
Don't ask him to say his last name.
He makes pike lures, but he's a consultant for Abu Garcia, and right. apparently huh? he's like a millionaire in Sweden. We didn't realize it till after the show.
He's the number one lure maker in Sweden.
Yeah, and he said he knew about Mille Lacs. Zep. We were talking about Mille Lacs and and he's like, yes, I know about Mille Lacs. I fished Mille Lacs. He said, I was like, wow.
You can go around the nation. It's the one lake you can talk about in Minnesota that most
right.
anglers are going to know. Okay, let's transition. Thanks, Jason, for pitching in on that. That was really some great information. I'm shocked. No, I'm kidding.
Everyone listening.
Well, we've got a couple of minutes here. Let's get into Casting for Cures, the big benefit at the Poorhouse. This Friday starts at 7 o'clock?
7 o'clock. Doors open to the public. Yep.
Doors open. And the last time we had you in, you already had a lot of, you had some sports, the celebrities that were going to be down there and a lot of things going on. So run us through it. 7 o'clock this Friday at the Poorhouse, which is a great location.
Yeah, it's crazy. And go to casting4cures.com to get tickets. And you can also register for our silent auction, which is online. So that's open right now. People are already bidding on stuff online.
They can do that right now.
Yep, right now they can go to casting4cures.com, castingforcures.com, and they can go right up in the top left corner. There's a ticketing link, and there's a silent auction link, and you can go on there and you can bid on it. Even if you can't make the event, you can come pick it up at our location, or if you want to have it shipped out, we can add some shipping on there for you and get it shipped out as well. So, yeah, it's great. I mean, the silent auction items, we've got going on $10,000 worth of silent auction stuff. I mean, just, you know, from wine baskets and craft beer baskets to, you know, 9-foot kayaks to guided fishing trips with Brian Robison and autograph. Oh, yeah. I mean, we've got Anthony Barr autographed jerseys, Harrison Smith and Cordell Patterson autographed 8x10s. We've got Zach Parise Pox autographed, Jonas Brodin Pox, the Wild going great right now. It's a hot item.
What about Doobie? You might have to get Doobie's autograph way he's been in nets. You know what I mean?
Well, we'll see. We'll see. They sent over the Tupac. So we've got a Zach Parise jersey on the way. I don't know if we've got a Doobie thing yet, but it's
it's a great item. Well, and then talk about, speaking of sports celebrities, if you make a little bit more of a contribution and get a VIP ticket, that's a separate area. And what's going on with that?
Well, we've got two separate things going on. We've got a VIP area. This is like the mezzanine area of the Poorhouse. Yeah. So it's limited to 150 tickets. And I'm going to tell you, we made an announcement today, and those tickets are starting to move really quickly. So if you're interested, get on there and get the tickets. They're $20 in advance, $22 at the door. It's going to get you up. It's going to be a little less crowded, some tables and seating, a couple bars that aren't going to be as busy, but it's going to be the main place where most of our celebrities that are going to be there are going to be hanging out. They'll probably mix in general admission as well a little bit too, but for the main thing, they're going to be up there. But we got an absolute awesome surprise today from the Vikings. We already had Brian Robison on board a couple weeks ago. Phil Loadholt signed up to come in.
The Load.
Yep, the Big Phil. So we got today I get an email from the Vikings, and it says, hey, Jason, I'm sending over some more pictures for autograph cards. You can add Harrison Smith, Everson Griffin, Adam Thielen, and Cordell Patterson to the mix for the
Holy cow.
So we have got
fun.
Training camp is open.
Right. Well, yeah, so perfect. Those guys are coming. And what we're doing with those is we're really asking people to kind of leave them alone during the event. We don't want to get them bombarded. Yeah.
Right.
Let them mingle. Let them have their fun. We're going to set
take
up
you out. He'll hit you. He'll
you don't want to mess with Harry the Hitman.
Hey, we're talking with Jason Holmes of Casting for Cures.
Or Homer's fine,
Homer.
Too.
No, I said Holmes, whatever it is. But anyway, he's not only with Casting for Cures, but he's a walleye hater. No, I'm just kidding you, Jason.
Easy.
Now, all the funds that come from Casting for Cures, does that go to the Midwest Children's Cancer Center? Is that what's happening
there? It's the St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. So we actually, the event got so big, we had to set up our own a 501c3 charity organization to sort of make things easier. But so we are going to be distributing funds then from the event. All the funds raised at this event in particular are going to St. Jude directly.
I read where the cancer success rate has gone from like 20% to 80%. How many years has that taken to get that far?
I believe it's since the 70s is the stat that I saw, but they're hoping to get to 90% now. And St. Jude's such a cool place. I mean, they just, you know, it's these families. I mean, the stories will just rip your heart out of your chest, you know. Yeah. And but they make it so easy for people. It's 100% donation. The families never pay for treatment. And these kids, you know, I mean, you just can't help feeling for them. I mean, all they did was wake up one morning.
Right.
And not feel good.
You know what's pretty neat too, Zep, is just not only is this going to be an event that's going to benefit St. Jude, which is a great cause for helping these people with cancer, but the fact that I would go to this event even if it wasn't for St. Jude if I was in town, because it's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, you talk about all these autographs from Minnesota Vikings folks we see on Sunday afternoon.
The auction stuff.
Zach Parise, that kind of stuff. I mean, what a cool event. So, Jason Homer, Casting for Cures benefit on Friday. Where is it and at what time again?
It's at the Poorhouse. It's 7 o'clock p.m.
Where's the Poorhouse?
It's right downtown, right off the light rail.
Okay.
Right off First Avenue. It's not on First Avenue. It's the next one up, but it's right there. So, yeah, I mean, 7 o'clock, doors open to the general public. You can get your tickets in advance, like we said. I don't want to forget to mention also music being provided by Brat Pack Radio,
which
is awesome. I mean, they are a fun band. If you want to have a night to come out and relive your youth.
I've worked with that crew before, and you know every song.
Oh, yeah.
You dance along with every tune, and it's so you might want to bring your dancing shoes. Casting for Cures, that's the numeral 4, castingforcures.com. You can already get involved in some auction items up in the left-hand corner, like Jason was saying. You can buy your tickets, look at the VIP stuff if you'd like to as well, or just show up at the door at 7 o'clock or sometime after 7 o'clock at the Poor House. That's P-O-U-R House. Well, all the information's on castingforcures.com.
Yeah, bring your stuff you want to get autographed. I mean, we're going to have a time set aside where the guys are going to do autographs. We're going to have a fee to raise a little bit more money. But and then after that's done, we're going to have a time where you can come back up, and we've got a professional photographer lined up to come on and take pictures and upload stuff for you. So it's going to be really fun. A lot of interaction with the players. It's going to be great.
About a half dozen Minnesota Vikings are going to be mingling around there that night. A lot of fun. All right. Thanks, buddy. Let us know how it goes.
I appreciate it, Jason.
When we're going to have to talk some more fishing. We'll get you in here to duke it out with the walleye guys some more. Jason Homer, Casting for Cures benefit this Friday night. Please visit casting4cures.com and check
that
out. Thanks, Jason. More than welcome to hang around. Thane, we're going to start talking some gobblers when we come back with Ticket Outdoors.
Passionate sports talk.
Teddy Bridgewater.
He throws it pretty deep.
No one better at throwing an accurate football than Teddy Bridgewater.
No one more accurate.
Ooh, that's a bold
Aaron Rodgers?
I love that kid throwing a deep football.
On your sports station, 105 The Ticket.
Joined Radioactive Sports at the office on Washington Avenue for Twins Ticket Friday.
The superstar Mike Morris and I will be there from 4 to 7 outside on the patio, along with our ticket girls, giving away tickets to that night's game and future games.
From the office on Washington and 844 Hay Workers, get fueled up before the game with $3 cold domestic drafts and a great full menu.
Radioactive Sports, live at the office on Washington before Friday Twins home games. Then walk right over to Target Field.
Finally, an office you can have fun at with Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Boomer here from The Ticket Outdoors. Well, we made it through another long, cold winter in Minnesota. And guess what that means? It's time to hit the open water, baby. And I'm pumped to get back into the Alumacraft T-Pro 195 and get her wet. And I want to remind our listeners, now is a great time to check out the new lineup of Alumacraft boats. I love Alumacraft because they're made right here in Minnesota, and they're simply the best aluminum boat on the water. To learn more about Alumacraft and to find a dealer near you, go to alumacraft.com.
Hey, you know what time it is? It's springtime, and it's time to get to Mills Fleet Farm so you can give your yard a cut and a trim. Give the garden a makeover and turn the earth upside down. Plant, fertilize, weed, and feed. Build a wall, a fence, or how about a patio? Then, time to grill and chill. Yep, it's springtime, and it's time to get to Mills Fleet Farm for all your lawn, garden, and outdoor living supplies.
Now back to Ticket Outdoors, only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
The show continues off the air. We always mention that around here.
Fun,
on
fun,
the
fun.
Air, every Wednesday from 7 to 9 o'clock, Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. Thank you, Jason Holmer and Dave Johnston already, part of the show. And now we're going to switch it up a little bit from the Here's My Gear Pro staff, an old buddy of the show. Last time, Thane, we had you on, we were in a packed bar and having a good time. It was a rowdy honky-tonk up in, was it Stanchion?
Yep.
I forget the name of the place. What was it? Do we remember? It doesn't really matter. It was one of our End of the Field shows. I'm ready for some more End of the Field shows. But we're going to talk about getting into the fields and hunting the gobblers. Thane, thanks for coming into studio.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You seem a little stiff today. The arms are a little... I want to shake your hand. What's happening there?
Let's talk about it. Let's hear the story.
Boomer had to go and bring that one up. It's actually an old war wound from the turkey woods. down in Kansas with my brother-in-law, A.J. Fuhrbach, we were down there chasing turkeys and... I ended up getting one.
How long ago? When was this happening?
This is actually sad but true. About 4 or 5 years ago already.
Holy
but it's a nagging
buckets.
Injury.
Every time there are chores to be done around
There's
the house, it's a nagging
company,
injury.
Not an insurance company in the world that'll cover that one.
I'm sure will.
Go ahead.
So I got a bird coming out. I shoot the bird. The bird falls. I'm going to go get it. The guy I was with grabbed me and put me back on the ground. He said, no, there's more coming. I said, awesome. So I'm waiting because in Kansas you can get two in the same day.
Yeah.
So I see this bird coming. It's actually not one. It's four. There's four more Jakes, which are juveniles. They run out, and they're dancing around this bird I just shot like the Keystone Cops. They're just going crazy. Yeah. And I'm like, all of a sudden I see my bird is kind of starting to get woozy and like he's coming back too, like a boxer that had just been had his bell rung a little bit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, I'm going to shoot another one. I'm going to get my two and be done. Well, as I was just taking up the slack in the trigger, my bird's now standing.
Yeah.
I freak out.
Yeah,
I airmail.
You don't want to lose them both now.
Airmail the shot right over the top of all of them. My gun is now empty. Off we go across the field running. I got knee boots on, and I'm chasing.
You're running away from this bird.
I'm chasing this bird across the chisel-plowed field.
Where's the Benny Hill music when I need it?
I'm chasing this bird across the chisel-plowed field. I think I've got him. He's going to hit the fence line and pile up.
Yep.
Nope. Carl Lewis right over the fence, and I went right behind him.
Yeah.
I fell into a tree that a beaver had gnawed off, and I fell into the tops of the branches.
Oh, yeah, that's nasty.
I stumble into the stump, knock the wind out of myself. I'm literally on my hands and knees. And, guys, this is where you're going to think I'm crazy, but this I couldn't make it up. I'm crawling on my hands and knees. This bird is in tall grass, doesn't really know what to do. I reach over. There's a stick. I throw the stick at the bird.
That always works. Yeah.
Turns around.
He's got a complete caveman at this point.
Exactly. And the bird comes running back by me. And as he runs by me, I literally grabbed him by the neck, threw it on the ground, and sat on it and choked it out until it passed. So when this is all said and done, I have no idea, but I can't raise my right arm. I don't know what I honestly can't tell you what I did to my shoulder, but
that's Tommy John. Tommy John surgery.
I'm reminded
you can't
often.
Make that. Crap up, can
wow.
you zap?
No.
Thane the turkey wrestler.
Thane the turkey whisperer. That's why when we ever talk about turkeys at Here's My Gear, any of these media events, sports shows, we always have to bring in Thane Jensen. But on a serious subject, guys, as we all know, turkey hunting has taken a life of its own here in Minnesota. I mean, those birds are as north as Bacchus to Bemidji, Minnesota. And when we brought turkeys in here a few years ago, it used to be a lottery. And now it's an 8-week season. And the first 3 weeks of the season are lottery. And then after that, you can buy them over the counter. And so we thought with all this hype and all this talk about turkey hunting, why not bring in the turkey whisperer?
Yeah, the one and only thing. And I remember we had him doing some turkey calls. He's never without a turkey call. I asked him before we went on the air, do you ever, like when we leave the house without our phone, panic and go, oh, my God, I got to go.
Yeah.
And he said, no, he's always got a turkey call on him. They're everywhere. He just kind of pitches like Stru and I do with reader glasses. We just kind of pitch them everywhere.
Yes.
So that we always have one handy. But we have him doing turkey calls in this honky-tonk bar up at Stanchion. And, I mean, it's rowdy. It's rocking. We're yelling at each other. But he started that turkey call, and boy, oh, boy, did everybody start paying attention.
Yeah, I'll tell you, that's the first time I ever heard turkey calling, and I was very, very impressed. Might be the first time you and I met as well. Had to be.
I think it was.
Yeah,
I think it was.
That was a lot of fun. So we're going to learn some more tonight, right?
Yeah,
we are. I'll tell you what, before we get to the turkey calls, we're going to use that as a tease and come back. We've got another minute before we have to quick hit another break here, and then we're going to bring Thane back, and we'll get into some of the turkey calls. But let's talk about the turkey season, Boomer, a little bit, and how people are going to get set up for it, when it gets started and all that good jazz. I'm out of the loop on this one, I'm afraid.
Yep. So this turkey season, it's an 8-week season, and it typically goes in 5 days.
Was it was it 5 weeks last year?
No, it's 8 weeks typically.
Yeah.
It's an 8-week season. Oh, what happens is they break it off in 5-day sections, I think, or something like that. So maybe it's that breaks out to 5 weeks. I don't know. I can't do the math on the spot right now. I'm hearing this hand chatter.
Right,
Quit
distracting him. He's got work to do. Focus, Boomer. Focus.
ADD. But, yeah, so what's going to happen is folks can start hunting this Saturday morning. Yep. And that season's going to go, I believe, till Wednesday-ish. Right, Thaner? And then the second season's going to kick in, and that's going to run till Sunday. And then it's Monday through Friday, and that's A, B, and C. So each season, A is 5 days, B is 5 days. And C is 5 days. And then after that, for the last five seasons, you can buy tags over the counter. But if you still have the itch to go turkey hunting and you think you have to wait till the fourth season, which is season D, you might not have to do that, because if you go onto the Minnesota DNR's website, there are leftover tags depending on the zone that you're hunting in that you can still buy some leftover tags. I don't think there's a lot left for season A and maybe some for season B, but I do know that there's some left for season C. But when we come back from break, we're going to have Thane talk a little bit about guns, chokes, shot, what you use for turkey hunting, what's some of your typical gear, the types of calls that you'd be using, kind of the camo, the blinds. Thane and I go back and forth on how you use decoys and the decoy strategy, and then talk a little. And then we're going to talk a little bit about putting turkeys to bed, what the morning hunt is like and what the afternoon hunt is like, because over the years I've learned a lot, and we call Thane the guru over there, but there's a different strategy to turkey hunting depending on the time of day, from the evening to the morning to the afternoon.
I know most of the people who listen to the show, whether it's live right now or rebroadcast on Sunday mornings or podcast, are avid fishermen and hunters, but I'm not as avid as most of them. So from a rookie point of view, if I'm going to do one of my first turkey hunts, what's your favorite stick to throw?
The NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, only on 105 The Ticket.
Joey Logano just screamed down into the lead. McMurray's got to the second. Matt Kenseth and Kevin Harvick side by side for third.
The world's fastest half mile, the Food City 500 from Bristol Motor Speedway. Tune in for live coverage Sunday morning at 11.
That's the battle for the lead in turn one.
This is Brad Keselowski.
This is Dylan Hart Jr.
This is Jeff Gordon.
This is Jimmy Johnson.
This is Kevin Harvick.
Your home for NASCAR in the Twin Cities is Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
For a jump on pesky weeds, get Preem Weed Preventer from Mills Fleet Farm. Choose from Preem with or without plant food or organic vegetable garden weed preventer. Just $11.99 each. Get your laundry clean and smelling fresh with extra laundry detergent and extra fabric softener. On sale, too, for $4.98. After the work is done, relax on an Adirondack patio chair. They come in assorted colors. On sale, $14.99 each at Mills Fleet Farm. Now open in Mankato.
Boomer here from the Ticket Outdoor. Well, we made it through another long, cold winter in Minnesota, and guess what that means? It's time to hit the open water, baby, and I'm pumped to get back into the Alumacraft T-Pro 195 and get her wet. And I want to remind our listeners, now is a great time to check out the new lineup of Alumacraft boats. I love Alumacraft because they're made right here in Minnesota, and they're simply the best aluminum boat on the water. To learn more about Alumacraft and to find a dealer near you, go to alumacraft.com.
At most boat stores, what you see is what you get, which might sound good, but what you see may not be what you want. See, many big box boat stores get their boats pre-rigged, with equipment you may not want and places you may not want it. You wouldn't let someone pick out your wife or your kids, and they're almost as important as your boat. So come to Dan's Southside Marine, and we'll customize your boat to you. Say you're a lefty. You might want your depth finder here instead of there. Or if you're freakishly tall, you might want things at a special angle. Maybe you're a Virgo and you want everything in alphabetical order. We let you choose, even if we think it's weird. Because no matter where you choose to put things, at Dan's you're choosing the best. Motors by Suzuki, Yamaha, and Honda. Brands like Alumacraft Boats and Premier Pontoons. If you want what you see, you know where to get it. But if you want what you want, come to Dan's Southside Marine.
You'll not find a bigger inventory of Premier Pontoons and Alumacraft boats anywhere in the Twin Cities. Any boat you see online is available for sale at Dan's Southside Marine.
Now back to Ticket Outdoors, only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Need new tires before going on your next road trip. We're getting into some big seasons with the walleye opener coming up. We've got turkey season before you hit the road. Fleet Farm carries all the best brands. Michelin, BF Goodrich, Cooper Roadrunner, and many more. Our guest, Thane Jensen, here's my Gear Pro staff, and we're talking serious turkeys. The season just getting started this weekend. Thane, Boomer, take it away, guys.
Yeah, you know what, Thane? I would like to get your perspective on why you think turkey hunting is so popular in the state of Minnesota right now.
I think it's a pretty simple one, actually, Boomer. I think it all boils down to the availability of birds to hunt.
Yep.
I think when you couldn't find a bird or they were only sparsely located in certain parts of the state, folks didn't know about them because it was such a select group. People also, if you're an avid turkey hunter and you have limited opportunities to chase those birds, I'm not telling everybody.
Right.
Now that you can access them there, it's a huntable season in most of the state.
Yeah.
I think that's a large thing.
And unlike an upland bird, like the pheasant, that just, you know, here in Minnesota, and there's some areas that have done well, but the pheasant just doesn't seem to quite get off the ground, pardon the pun, here in Minnesota.
Yeah, absolutely.
The population starts to come up, and it's just too much competition where the turkey, which is a much better winter bird.
Yes.
I think people think of the pheasant, it's obviously not indigenous to the United States, a European bird was brought over here and doesn't actually do very well in the winter, and you lose a lot of that population. The turkey does very well in the winter and has boomed here in Minnesota. Added to that, I think a lot of deer hunters are drawn to turkey hunting for the same reason they're drawn to deer hunting. You got some tags that are down, you can't fill as many tags as you used to, and then you've got that wonderful, beautiful spring hunt. Everything, you've got to wait until fall as far as hunting, and except for the spring turkey, and now it's like deer season in the spring.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
and, Thane, one of the things that I really love about turkey hunting, as much as the sport is growing because the population of turkeys is so healthy and it's easier to get a tag, is the fact that it's very interactive. I mean, we'll get into this when you start calling and talk to our listeners a little bit about how you chirp at a male turkey, which can be a tom, which is an adult bird, or a jake, which is a juvenile, which really, when you're out in the field, you're looking for two things there. Really, it's the beard, which is right underneath the neck there. And if the beard is typically, 5 to 6 inches or longer, you're going to call it a tom. If it's less than that, it's going to be a jake. And the tom's going to be a little more smarter and a bigger bird. Plus the fan on it's going to be different. But Thane, when I'm out chasing it, and we'll focus this conversation on firearms, because you can, use a bow and arrow turkey hunting. They have an arrow called the guillotine, actually, that you can shoot that can slice the head off a bird. That was kind of a fad for a while. But you got to get
there, Robin Hood.
Sounds like fun.
But you got to get pretty close to that. But I typically like to go out there for our listeners who are thinking about getting into the sport of turkey hunting with a 12 gauge and use turkey choke. Now, you can get away with a full choke, in my opinion, but you want that set of BBs or that pattern of BBs to be really tight, because you're not just shooting at the turkey's body. Thane, take it from there.
Your point of aim is going to be right where the base of the neck or the wattle, the little red bumpy spot where the neck meets the feathers on the breast.
So if I'm getting out and I'm going to do a little target shooting at, say, a 30 or 40 yards, I'm going to sight with my new turkey choke and my new turkey loads, and I get out there, I want that circle pattern to cover what?
You want to get as many pellets as you can in the head and neck area of that bird.
Yeah.
The feathers of a wild turkey are almost like body armor.
Yeah.
They're very, very impervious to getting that shot through. So,
and a big, thick breast.
Yep. And you don't want to ruin it. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Right.
It's amazing table fare.
So what you're saying then is, if you have the proper choke, you can shoot 40 yards or 50 yards within a 5-inch pattern.
Well, you're going to have some flyers, but you're going to have a tighter pattern.
Yeah.
So you're going to get better grouping.
Boy, 50 yards seems like a long ways over here.
You know what? It does.
I'm not a big advocate of taking a shot at 50 yards. I'm not going to say I'm above doing that, because I have done it and I have missed. And because when you get out, as you guys know from waterfall hunting, when you start shooting at 50 yards, that pattern of BB spreads out fairly thin. Now, there are some special turkey loads for our listeners out there that you can pick up from our sponsors like Fleet Farm that are going to try to hold that pattern a little more condensed. So, for an example, these turkey chokes that you can buy at Fleet Farm are going to look further extended from the barrel of your shotgun than a regular full choke you'd use duck hunting. And it's going to be more looking like an extended choke. And that, and with a certain type of BB, is going to hold that pattern tight, right, buddy?
Yeah, I mean, you'll find me always packing five shot. Some guys will go four shot. My gun shoots the fives better. It's something else I would encourage folks to do is to get out.
Can I use?
See what they like. See what your gun likes.
You know, I've got, and you guys are probably the same way, I've got like 15 different rounds of shells. I have waterfowl and grouse and upland bird and goose. And can I use my four-shot high-velocity upland bird rounds? Or would you? Guys are going to look at that. They're going to go, four-shot? Well, I love four-shot. That's what I use for pheasant. And I use high-velocity. I shoot three-inch shells. Yeah.
If you had to, you could probably get by.
But
I prefer the turkey choke. I prefer, the turkey loads. And I prefer that just from the standpoint that it's that copper plated lead.
Yes.
Steel flies so fast, it doesn't conform. You get a lot more flyers in that regard. You're able to generally hold a tighter pattern with like a copper plated lead.
Yeah. Okay. And the other thing about that too, Stru and Zap and Thane, what I like about turkey loads, not only is the copper-plated lead, and they're heavier than using waterfall loads, but the fact that there's also, I think, more technology that goes into turkey loads, because when you go to Fleet Farm and you buy a pack of turkey loads, it's not going to be like waterfall where you get 20 or 24 in a box.
Right.
Typically, you're going to get about five, and those five shells or shot is going to cost you probably close to $20. So
right.
It's quite an investment. And the reason being for that is when you're shooting at a turkey and you get that one shot off, because your point of view where you're pointing at or the area you're trying to hit on a turkey is so specific that if you swing and miss, that turkey's running away.
Yeah.
And they're not one of those birds like a duck that flares and gets away where you can get one of those shots as it's getting away from you. As Thane mentioned earlier, they got body armor on those birds. So it is really hard just to shoot that bird in the head while it's running away.
And you're not going to want to take a tail shot on a bird running away.
You're just going to injure it.
All right, to clarify then the copper-plated BBs, the lead, right?
Yes.
Are heavier than the regular
steel.
Steel, which means they fly. It goes slower. As a result, it's a tighter pattern.
Yep. They're not going to fly quite as fast as the steel.
Yeah, might be
it's kind of like comparing a 30-30 to a 30-06 when I was growing up. And my old man let me use a 30-30 because it's a better brush gun. It's a little bit slower bullet than a 30-06 and doesn't deflect as much.
Correct.
All right.
But when you talk about buying those turkey loads now and you're spending $20 for five versus $20 for 20 in waterfall, they've came a long way, Stru, where that copper plated lead for turkey loads is flying at a pretty high velocity now at around 1250 to 1350 feet per second. So pretty comparable to your waterfall loads. Thane, talk to our listeners a little bit. I want to get into the calls and what calls you use when, but about the typical gear camo that you're going to use turkey hunting.
Yeah, it starts out for me, obviously, depending upon the weather. You know, obviously, you got your base layers to keep you warm. I always wear knee boots because you never know how wet it's going to be in the woods. Oftentimes, late season, you're walking through high grass, high weeds, so you get your pants wet. So I'll wear a knee boot, pants tucked in to keep the ticks off and to keep my legs dry. Always camouflage. Oftentimes, I'm going to be having like a cargo pant. I've usually got a long sleeve T-shirt on. And a button-up shirt. So I'm trying to get as many pockets because I like to keep my calls here, an extra set of bullets here so I don't have to throw sticks at them. And so on and so forth. So it generally camo. You don't want to forget a face net, a head net face paint. Some folks will do that. I know you like to do that, Boomer. And obviously a hat and gloves. You really, the wild turkey has such keen eyesight. I often joke that if they would team up with the white-tailed deer in their sense of smell, you'd never kill either one
of them. You'd never see them, probably.
That's a good
It's true. You
good
like a purple hat is what
I love,
you go with,
I love
isn't it?
Wear my purple baseball hat with Jimmy's bar and restaurant in White Bear Lake to
You got to be careful. You don't want to look like a turkey this time of year walking through the woods either.
Because when you're turkey hunting, no one's wearing orange, so there's also a huge sense of responsibility you have as an outdoorsman and women when you're out there that you really have to focus and concentrate on that
target.
You have
to know that target. You have to know your target.
You're talking about the senses and the sight of the turkeys is phenomenal. I mean, have you ever sat down, camouflage, whether you're hunting or not, and just to see how close one would come to you before they decided, hey, there's something here?
I've had them step over my feet.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy. My father and I had it
That's
happen.
Cool.
It was crazy. I was afraid to blink.
Yeah.
I was afraid to breathe.
Guys, let's move on because the clock is running here. Let's move on to the next topic.
Yeah,
and we're talking. Let's get into
the calls.
Thank you.
Yeah, let's talk about calls, Thane.
Perfect.
What are the different types of calls? Not, you know, the sounds, but the types of calls people can buy out there. And what are the different noises you make?
And then try and walk us as you're talking about the calls. If we're talking about if you're just getting started.
For sure.
Or if you've been using this call for a while, think about graduating to this call.
Absolutely, absolutely. So first call of the morning for me is going to be an owl hooter. And they're pretty simple. It sounds a little like this. It's... At that point, hopefully you're going to get a gobbler to sound off in the tree. He's going to give away his location. So you go in, you get set up.
Why is a gobbler going to respond to an owl?
It's something in the tone or the frequency that hits them just right, and they can't help it. It's called the shock gobble.
That'll send the mice to the barn, I bet.
And Thane, what is the purpose of doing that locator call?
The whole idea of locating the birds in the morning is, one, making sure they're where you left them the night before, so you can get in and make a play for that particular bird.
Yeah.
From there, there are three different types of calls you can go through from there.
Break us through on this thing. So you just hit your locator call, which you did a perfect impression of an owl, or you can use a crow. Some people will do a crow impersonation. You hear a gobble. Let's walk our listeners through what you do next. You hear a gobble in the background.
Okay, so I've got a bird gobbling on the tree. I'm going to work in as close as I can. I want to get what I like to call his kitchen. I want to get in where he's comfortable, and because they'll move a long ways, but in the morning you want to make it easy on them. So I'll get in within 150, 200 yards, closer if you can, but you don't want to get so close that you bump them off the roost or they freak out and see you. Once I get in there, honestly, I'll be kind of quiet for a while and just let them wake up naturally at that point. They'll start to gobble and do their thing.
Don't get in a hurry.
No. Nope.
So when you say they're in the roost, explain that a little bit, and then give us some yardage. So if I'm a listener for the first time tuning in, and I hear this gobble, but I don't know exactly about how close I could get.
I would, if you're not comfortable, not versed in it, I would try to stay 200 yards away.
From where they're sleeping
from
in
where
the tree.
From where they're roosted up in the trees.
Okay.
At that point, I kind of let them wake up on their own. Oftentimes, you'll get hens tree yelping. So they'll be in the tree kind of waking up themselves, stretching their – and it sounds like this. It's not going to be anything crazy, loud, or raucous.
It's not aggressive.
It's just, hey, they're waking up saying, hey, I'm over here.
Right.
And usually that'll fire the tom up, and eventually they'll all come off the roost. When a hen comes off the roost, it gets crazy in the woods.
Explain to our listeners what the roost is.
The roost is the tree that these birds are spending the evening in.
Okay.
They'll sleep in trees.
Yeah. I think a lot of people, we generally see turkeys when we're driving around semi-domesticated or wild out somewhere. They're on the ground. We think of them as ground birds. Turkeys can fly, and they roost, and they get up off the ground away from the predators.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So as they come out of the trees, things get a little crazy in the woods, and it's called the fly-down cackle. And it sounds like this. So while that's happening, you're also hearing wings flapping and tree branches breaking, and it's
now
chaos.
Now the adrenaline's going a little bit.
Dude, I'm strutting over here right now.
Good luck over there, it's true. Don't turn your back on him.
Yeah, I just wish other people could see
that. You know what, guys?
That was awesome.
I know. This is always what we battle here on this show. Thane Jensen from Here's My Gear. We're talking turkeys, and we've got a lot of good material. This is what Mark Lukey loves. Let's bump back a little bit some of our other guests if we can. I'm going to take a quick commercial break, come right back, and let's stay on topic and talk to some turkeys.
Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Your carbon monoxide alarm may soon begin chirping every 30 seconds. This required safety feature tells you the alarm has reached the end of its life. How old is your CO alarm? If you installed it more than 5 years ago, it's time to beat the beep. Replace outdated units with a new Kidde worry-free CO alarm. The sealed-in lithium battery offers hassle-free protection for 10 years, the longest life on the market. Protect your family. Buy a Kidde worry-free CO alarm today and beat the beep.
Hang on to listen, a lawyer you know and trust.
Warm weather fever is here. You can't help getting excited when warm days and sunshine return. For many of us, that means taking the motorcycle or sports car out of the garage and hitting the road. Hi, I'm Mike Bryant from Bradshaw & Bryant. With all the excitement of spring and summer months, we sometimes tend to let safety slip from our minds. If you're one of the many Minnesotans who love to ride, please drive responsibly. For those of us who share the road with motorcycles, please start seeing them. In our years of serving Minnesota, we've learned that a little awareness can go a long ways in avoiding many accidents. At Bradshaw & Bryant, we hope your summer months are safe, and you never know the pain of being in an accident. But if you do, please give us a call.
You can find Mike Bryant of Bradshaw & Bryant at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. Mike Bryant, seeking justice for the injured.
Seeking justice for the injured. Bradshaw & Bryant.
Call 800-770-7008.
Stuck in your car and missing the kid you used to be? Remember those days before traffic, deadlines, and all that responsibility? Well, it's time to get that kid back by opening up a refreshing memory today with Killabrew Root Beer. Minnesota-made Killabrew old-fashioned root beer and cream soda. Grab your own super cold aluminum bottle available in the cooler section of your favorite Holiday Station store. Killabrew. It's how memories are made and legends are created.
From the Mills Fleet Farm Studios, WTDX Lakeville, WRXP Cambridge, WGBZ Eden Prairie, a Cumulus station.
Everyone loves cars. Everyone loves cash. So Worthfield Bloomington Mitsubishi is giving you a shot at winning both. We grabbed the keys to a 2015 Mitsubishi Mirage from Richfield Bloomington Mitsubishi off 494 in Lindale and loaded up the back seat full of cash. If you can guess the exact amount of cash we stashed in the car to the penny, you win. Win the new Mitsubishi and $20,000. Listen and find out just where you can see the Richfield Bloomington Mitsubishi car you want, the way you want it, and the cash across the Twin Cities from now until May 24th. To enter, just go to 105theticket.com or rbmitsu.com. Then electronically enter your guess. Only one entry per person allowed. No purchase necessary. Oh, and if nobody guesses the exact amount of cash we stashed, we're still giving away the new stylish Mitsubishi Mirage at 44 miles per gallon highway to one lucky driver no matter what. It's a carload of cash. Contest rules at rbmitsu.com. But you can't win if you don't enter. So enter today and win with Richfield Bloomington Mitsubishi.
Now back to Ticket Outdoors, only on Sports Radio 105.
Can I be in the wedding?
No, you cannot be. Yes, you can be in the wedding. It's true, you're going to be my best man. Just wait for the invite. It's in the mail. Tim Lesmeister, Outdoor News. Just got my copy, or my latest, on Monday, and I haven't even had a chance to look at it.
Good stuff.
I know it is.
I know Kent's listening to this from Alumacraft right now, just loving it. And he says, keep on. And then Tim Moore just messaged me saying, keep on doing that cackle call, brother.
Well, let's keep on doing it. We're taking it back to Thane Jensen. Didn't youth season like start today or something like that with turkeys? April 15th?
I believe it did.
Right, exactly. Yes. And so then this thing will run through about the 28th or whatever or something like that. Anyway, yeah. Turkey season for the big boys and girls gets started this Saturday. Thane Jensen, here's my gear, pro staff. The turkey whisperer and occasionally wrestler is in, and when we left off, we were just calling them out of the roost.
And they did the cackle.
Yep. Okay.
Give us that cackle one more time.
You want another fly down?
Yeah.
God, I wish I had a video camera.
I've got blood flowing all over my body right now. I'm so happy.
All right, now the bird's out of the tree. What happens?
So they hit the ground, and then they calm down, thankfully. I'd run out of breath if they didn't.
I'm not calming down.
And they, so they hit the ground, and then they go into kind of a, just a. That's basically, they're just hanging out, picking bugs, eating, doing their thing. And
this call that you're doing, the last couple of calls, when they get a little more aggressive, a little more specialized, these sort of calls, does this take you a long time to learn? I mean, for a guy or a gal that's headed out this weekend and they've been practicing on their way to work for the last couple of months or over the winter or something like that, how direct is this call? Does it have to sound exactly like that or you lose them? Are they that touchy?
No, they're not.
Is their ear that keen?
The key to this whole thing is all cadence.
Yeah.
You know, you can get by with your standard yelp, and a yelp is really fairly simple.
Now, explain the call you're using. You're putting like this diaphragm looking thing
in
your
mouth. This is a diaphragm call. Yeah. Essentially, it's some pieces of latex in a like an aluminum holder and with some tape around it. For the beginner,
this can be very easy. It all depends on, one, your gag reflex, and then two...
I'm blushing.
Yeah, right? And then two, the fact that if you can deal with the fact that your tongue is doing some vibrating a little bit.
Yeah, right.
Some people, like my father, he's the first time he blows one every year, he's got to itch his teeth.
That looks tough to me. What I like is when Dad used to get the old box call or the scratcher out. That looks like something I can do. I see you have some different calls here.
That's a box call, and that's very simple.
Right.
I mean, you can do a lot of different things on this. I mean, some folks can even master and do a gobble on this thing, which is, I can't even try it. But it's you shake it, and it kind of sounds somewhat like a gobbler. If I have to resort to gobbling, I have a gobble shaker which I actually left at home.
I remember the gobble shaker. Yep, sure. Yep. Yeah.
So my best gobble tonight is going to come. And it's not very good, so we'll hold off. But then there's the friction call. This here is a pot call. It's actually a Finger Lakes call that was sent to me by fellow Here's My Gear pro staffer Tim Moore out in New Hampshire. He sent this call to me, and I'm super jacked because this thing just flawlessly makes turkey sounds. I mean, I'm completely. You can get loud on it. You can get really quiet and just purr a little bit, which these are all sounds that a content turkey makes. The purr is a pretty mellow. It's just, hey, I'm just doing my thing. It's a noise they make naturally as they go about their day. And it's kind of like you're not yelling at the birds. You want it to sound natural. You want it to be natural. But for the beginner, I would work on that main cadence. I'm a diaphragm call geek. I just love talking to them.
Right. I didn't want to say anything.
And but. I would just work that five key cadence.
Okay.
The yelp and that. You can throw a cluck in there if you wanted, and that's like this. So. Those are the basic calls that I use. Sometimes you got to get after them. I mean, sometimes you got to call a tom away from a hen. My strategy always is to talk to the hens. If I can call a hen into me, she's usually going to pull her boyfriend or boyfriends along with her.
That happens. That's just like ladies' night at the bar.
Now, Thane, is there something to be said early morning strategy when you're trying to pull those toms or jakes off of the roost in the morning? They don't have a female necessarily mated with them for the day. So when they come down, what's your overall approach to that, or any time when you're using those different type of turkey calls? How do you know what to do when? Give our listeners some insight.
You know, I think I listen to the birds and kind of listen to what the hens around me are doing. And I always try and one-up them. I always want to sound like the baddest hen out there. I want to sound like I'm more willing, I'm more ready, and I'm more able.
This is getting uncomfortable.
Again, I didn't want to say anything, but somehow Stru just
like
moved away
night
from
at
me.
At the bar, right?
Yeah. Well, no, exactly. But that's what you're doing,
right?
Here.
Exactly.
I mean, because you've got a group of turkeys. Unlike if you're calling some big game animals and they're out and the bucks on the rut or the bulls on the rut and they're out looking around, you're letting them know we're over here. But you're really trying to call a tomboy or get a female in and get that tom or those jakes to follow. And you're really trying to bust up their little party.
Well, you're actually trying to trick nature into doing something that's not normal. The tom gobbles and struts for the hens. So they'll go out into an area, which is why this is what you see. They're standing out at the edge of a field or in a field, spinning around, feathers out, gobbling their full head off. Well, what that does is it says, hey, any hen that's, you know, wants to do business, here I am. So you have to trick them into saying, hey, I'm worth it, and I'm stubborn. I'm not coming to you.
And
you're
going
to come to me.
Yeah.
And that's essentially what you're doing. You're holding your ground. Sometimes you got to play hard to get and just not call. I have a really hard time with that. I'm not going to lie.
Do you get a visual on a tom, a jake, even some hens, and do you still continue to call them?
I do.
Yeah.
I do because, well, that's part of the reason I really, really like the mouth call is I'm behind a mask, obviously. Sometimes I'm in a blind, not always. And what I can do is I can watch how they react. I'm like, he didn't like that. I'm not doing that again. Oh, that he's moving again. He's moving my direction. He liked that. We'll keep doing that.
And when you talk about he liked it or do that, explain to me, you know, we kind of laugh about the strut.
when you're looking at that. We just got about 2 minutes. So actually, let's skip that and let's get into decoy strategy. So people can buy decoys. Explain to our listeners in 1 minute or less why you buy a decoy and how it works in the field.
You're making all this noise. You got to have something for the birds to look at. Decoys are amazing early season. And when the foliage gets a little higher, I like to try and hide my decoys once it gets once the vegetation grows up, because then they have to come looking.
That's cool. Yeah. That's a great idea.
And when you use decoys, you always use a single hand, don't you?
I do not. Boomer. I am a big fan of two hands and a Jake. I've had it happen almost every time where a Tom comes in and that Jake is out there. They're worried about that youngster with those ladies saying, whoa, what is he doing?
Yeah.
And usually I got to stick up for my Jake decoy and defend him to the death.
Right. I mean, they're going to come out. It's like anything else. Like, oh, no, young man. No, you don't.
Exactly.
Maybe in a couple of years, but I got this one. Let me show you how the boss gets it done. Guys, we've got a minute.
Thane, take it home. Talk a little bit about the strategy you would use in the morning versus the afternoon to close it out.
In the morning, you get pretty aggressive. You want to get close to that tree. You want to get those birds coming in. You got a really solid shot first thing in the morning. Birds are going to be very active and very vocal. Complete opposite for the afternoon. In the afternoon, I would go to a spot where you've seen birds before, get set up, get hunkered down, and take a break, lay off the calling very sparingly. What you'll find happen is a bird that maybe had a bunch of hens with him in the morning and wouldn't respond to your calls, in the afternoon, the ladies have left him. They've done what they're going to do, and it's time for him to, he's still trolling, and you can fire up a gobbler mid-afternoon, and he'll usually work pretty good. If you can get him fired up in the afternoon, there's a very high probability you'll get that bird.
Kind of ease into him to get him off the roost a little bit, and then let him move around a little bit. You kind of ease into it, then you get a little more aggressive. So guys, we've talked about gear, we've talked about ammunition, we've talked about calls, we've talked about decoys, and we've talked about tactics.
Yeah.
I like it. We're going to have to wrap up.
He's the man, isn't he?
Thane Jensen, checking in here during turkey season. Let us know how it's going.
Absolutely.
Where are you headed this weekend?
This weekend, I'm headed back home to Iowa to hunt with my father and my brother-in-law and one of my best friends from high school.
Happy hunting. Good luck, man. Let us know how it turns out. The podcast, by the way, if you listen to this and go, what did he say? What did Stru keep interrupting there?
Yeah.
The podcast will be available in the next day or two at 105theticket.com. We come back, Tim Lesmeister. We're talking outdoor news and everything that's going on.
From the locker room to your radio, tune in the Wake Up Call from the writers of Cold Omaha every Sunday morning at 8.
Wiggins would look great on a better team. We saw this because when this team was healthy for, three games, we noticed that Wiggins kind of fits in and that he's learning to assert himself, and that was the one big thing for him. And he's learned that he has to take over.
Forget the numbers, just eye test. Wiggins has been by far the best rookie. You might as well put a bow on it, mail him the award now.
The Wake Up Call with Cold Omaha on Minnesota's Sports Radio, 105 The Ticket.
We at Dan Southside Marine would like to redefine the term man's best friend to mean his boat. Now, before you get all tweaky, let's talk this through. Although your dog is fun, dependable, and great to take fishing, so is an Alumacraft Navigator 165CS. And while your dog may retrieve ducks with lightning speed, he'd have to be just a tick faster to pull you up for a slalom run like the Stingray 200 Bow Rider. And sure, your furry friend obeys your every command with heartbreaking enthusiasm, but think of the enthusiasm you'll feel watching the receptionist from the gym sunbathe on your premier pontoon Escapade 235. And finally, your boat will never drink too much lake water and throw up in your boat. To learn more about the best boats and motors in the Twin Cities, or to complain about the dog thing, visit Dan's Southside Marine.
You'll not find a bigger inventory of premier pontoons and Alumacraft boats anywhere in the Twin Cities. Don't wait. Now's the time to buy. Any boat you see online is available for sale at Dan's Southside Marine.
Hey, you know what time it is? It's springtime, and it's time to get to Mills Fleet Farm so you can give your yard a cut and a trim. Give the garden a makeover and turn the earth upside down. Plant, fertilize, weed, and feed. Build a wall, a fence, or how about a patio? Then, time to grill and chill. Yep, it's springtime, and it's time to get to Mills Fleet Farm for all your lawn, garden, and outdoor living supplies.
Smokes! That's the fourth straight kill shot.
I've been getting in some practice.
Is that a new rifle, too?
Yep. Traded for it.
Make that five.
Lakes Trading Company. Buy, sell, trade, and receive expert firearms training. Permit to carry classes are also available at the indoor range. LakesTradingCo.com.
Now back to Ticket Outdoors, only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Turn that music down because Strewman has, it's like this, right?
Yep, the other way.
This way.
There you go.
Yep. All right, hang on. Strewman learned something today, right?
Oh, other way. Turn it around.
I told you that.
There you go.
Oh. Somebody kill that thing. It's it's sick.
Let me see.
That was a great coyote call. Have you guys know the distressed rabbit call?
No. It's all full of my spit.
I'll clean it.
It's all full of my spit.
I'm going to take true coyote
We got to get to Tim Lice. I'm sorry about that.
Bless my spirit.
Yeah, that was my turkey call.
Just happened.
Are you sick at all?
I'm not sick, no.
He did a very good job off air.
There, that's me now. I'm doing better.
Neither one of you are Nathane Jensen. Tim Lesmeister.
Boy, he's got a wicked tongue over there.
Welcome to Ticket Outdoors. Can you do a turkey call, Tim?
I am terribly disappointed in you guys. You guys had Thane Jensen in studio, right? And you didn't slap a straitjacket on him and get him to that 15-step de-turkeyization addiction program up at Hazleton. I mean, I'm telling you right now, these turkey hunters, it's a lethal disease.
I'll tell you, hey, Tim, I'll tell you what.
Yeah, you either turkey hunt or you don't, Tim.
Hang on a second. Tim, this is Steve Straczynski. Thanks for being on the air. By the way, I had Tim on because last year I got a hold of Tim, and thanks for being on the air. Last year he did an article and referred to what he's talking about here. And I'm reading this from the Outdoor News. This is April 25th of 2014. And this guy, Tim Lesmeister, is an outdoor guy. He hunts and fishes. His whole life revolves around this for the most. And he loves to golf. And he writes here, the first part of the article says, I've never hunted turkeys. I don't plan to start hunting turkeys at any point in the future. I even have hunting land in the northeast Iowa and plenty of places in Minnesota to hunt turkeys, but it's not going to happen. It's not that I have anything against turkey hunters or turkeys. It's just that I have seen what turkey hunting does to sane individuals, and I don't want to let that happen to me.
I believe that Thane Jensen probably goes to sleep at night with a turkey call in his mouth. Instead of snoring, he puts and he yelps and he gobbles.
Yeah, that's funny.
I'm thinking that if he is married, this is spousal abuse.
Tim Lesmeister, that's the kind of writing right there in OutdoorNews.com. I'm still old-fashioned. I get the paper. I got Mondays. Mine was delivered on Monday, but I didn't get a chance to read it
yet.
I know, and I should have. I knew Tim was going to be on, but it's been one of those weeks. So, Tim, tell us what's going on. We've got spring turkey season. Obviously, you're not going to be turkey hunting, but
nobody's perfect.
That was a little tongue-in-cheek, though, I'm sure. What do you think about turkeys really blowing up here in the Midwest, Iowa, Minnesota in specific?
I'm actually going to cross turkeys with pheasants is what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Because the turkeys, you'd think that they would probably be stuck down in southern Minnesota and not venture much past, let's say, Winona over to Mankato. But they didn't stop there. They just kept going farther north and farther north and farther north. And I figure it won't be long before we'll be hunting turkeys and grouse up in Lake of the Woods near Baudette.
You know, I'm from South Dakota where the pheasant has done okay out there. But, you know, there isn't much competition for the pheasant out there, even though the winters can be brutal and farmers have done better with conservation and game fishing parks out there. And the pheasant, when in the 80s, I don't know if a lot of people know, but we have a pheasant hunting operation and you could take 10 guys out all day and end up with three birds. That's changed greatly in the last 25 years in South Dakota. But the pheasant really just never caught on in Minnesota in big population numbers. They would start to go up and then they would go down, and that's sort of been the story of the pheasant here in Minnesota. I think one of my, you know, armchair theories is there's too much competition. But the turkey is a good winter bird, is a good Midwest bird. It does well in the prairie, it does well in the wooded areas, and man, that sucker is just blown up in Minnesota.
I think it's great. You know, I can remember my partner Mark Strand talking about those early uncles were some of the first guys that really turkey hunted in Minnesota after they replanted birds. And it was a situation where they never even could even come close to thinking that it would ever get to the point where it's at today. It's a tremendous success story, and it's wonderful that these guys can get out there and turkey hunt. But again, I've seen what it does to people, and my buddy Mark would, like Thane, it would get to be, you know, a month before turkey season, and their eyes would go glassy, and they'd dig out all their calls, and they would all of a sudden, you'd be wanting to carry on a conversation with them, and all they'd be doing is clucking and putting and trying to see if they couldn't get that box call back to where it should be, and all these different little tools for their slates. They're crazy.
And I'll tell you what, when I'm on the way, in the afternoon, when I'm driving down the road listening to my buddy Brian Zepp on KQRS, I can picture Thane and Boomer practicing their turkey calls in their car, right?
We actually instant message each other saying, man, I just did a cackle. That's amazing.
That's the best place to do it is in the car on the way to work by yourself.
Hey, Boomer, I'm going to light 2 candles for you this time.
I appreciate it, Tim. Hey, Tim, thanks for joining us tonight. So let's transition a little bit, Tim, away from turkeys, and let's talk to someone that has the insight that you do a little bit about Mille Lacs. We had Jason on earlier, who is on the member of the Minnesota DNR Fisheries Council, and we were talking about some of the new regs that came out. Would love to get your 2 cents and opinion on the new regs with Mille Lacs and what's going on there.
They're doing everything backwards. The management of Mille Lacs is always going in the wrong direction. Let's look at the smallmouth bass as an example. They spent all those years building up this tremendous trophy smallmouth bass fishery only to destroy it in 2 short years by just opening it up to everybody that wanted to throw some smallmouth bass in the skillet.
Amen.
They should have left that thing. They should have actually made it catch and release across the board for every smallmouth bass you catch and built that fishery. And they should open the walleyes up to literally no limits, as many as you want, any size you can catch, and take them all. Just catch them all. Because the walleyes tend to be either real strong or real weak on their year classes. And they will never have another strong year class like they had back in 2008 until they don't have to deal with basically nets being out there during the spawning season. So you're dealing with a situation where they say, well, they're just not getting bigger. Well, there's a reason why they're not getting bigger. There's just way too many big walleyes feeding on the small walleyes. Mm. And those slot limits are not doing what they're supposed to do. So forget about the walleyes on Mille Lacs. Let's just open the, I'll tell you what, if you had 2 years of open season on walleyes, the tribes would move their nets to somewhere else, and we'd start getting some good year classes built back up. And
this man loves to say it like it is, boy. I respect that.
Dave Ork wrote an article about that there is going to be some netting relief on Mille Lacs right now just because of the numbers and the tribes' fisheries.
Now they're going to Vermilion.
Well, they want to take pressure off of Mille Lacs due to the lack of walleyes in Mille Lacs.
I'll tell you, Tim Lesmeister, Outdoor News, and if you get Outdoor News, if you go to outdoornews.com, make sure that you read his blog. He's got a new article out on the April 8th edition. Tim, I love the fact that you don't pull those punches and you say it like it is. Yeah. We'd love to have you do a segment here every week, but I've got Jason Homer here, Minnesota DNR Fisheries Council. We got Boomer, we got Thane, some walleye guys, some bass guys here, and everybody's shaking their head yes as you're talking. Jason, what do you think?
I think when this thing's over, Tim and I need to get an apartment together. Yeah, I'm right there, man. I mean, I'm with them 100%. I think they are doing it backwards, or they've at least done it backwards. I think sitting in the meetings I sit in, it's they're trying to rectify the situation, but you know, the thing that gives me a lot of hope about Mille Lacs is because of the treaties up there, they can make changes without the state legislature, and they can do it in 2 weeks. So the problem is getting them to listen.
Yeah.
So when I've been beating my head against the table, not figuratively but literally in the meetings, and showing them pictures of what's going on up there when they tell me it's not, those are the things that are driving me nuts. And I think, you know, to Tim's point, I talk to guys from the South a lot, and, you know, Bass Utopia, we get a ton of stuff from all over the country, and everybody from down south wants to know about Mille Lacs Lake and the the smallmouth bass fishery that Mille Lacs Lake is. If we do it right, you have a fishery that can sustain itself and has a culture of catch and release, so it's not going anywhere.
So here's a question. Someone asked me this at a sports show, and honestly, Tim, I'm going to look for you to lead the answer on this, because I really was kind of dumbfounded, and for probably one of the first times in my life, I was silent. And as you guys know, that's pretty amazing. But we were talking about Mille Lacs, and someone said, well, Boomer, do you think because of the hard spot Mille Lacs in, it's challenged us as a state to help other fisheries other than Mille Lacs, and that's why we've seen Upper Red, Leech, and other walleye fisheries thrive when they haven't potentially in the past, because Mille Lacs wasn't going in the direction we needed it to go, and so there was a focus on other lakes. And honestly, I didn't have a response for that. And Tim, you've been in this game a lot longer than I have, and I have a lot of respect for your opinion. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that what you're looking at there with Red Lake and with Leech Lake is that they have to bottom out before anybody does anything, which is what's going on with Mille Lacs right now. Look at Red Lake. What was the catalyst up there? The nets. Well, look at Lake of the Woods. Let's go back a little farther. What was the catalyst to that precipitous drop in walleye numbers years ago? It was nets. Lake Erie, it was nets. We're seeing the there is a common denominator here. And if people say, well, how could the nets be causing a problem? It's real simple. In the outdoor news you're going to get this week, there was a letter from a guy named Bob Kangas. He's from Schroeder, Minnesota. And he talks about Iowa State University study that shows that female walleyes carry about 20,000 or 27,000 eggs per pound. A four pound walleye would lay about 108,000 eggs. The survival rate is 10% and 2% on the fry. So you end up with 216 survivable walleyes per walleye. Now, if you look at that situation, you'll find that mathematically, if you take those fish out when they're not spawning, one walleye equals one walleye. But if you take that when they are spawning, you take one walleye, that equals 216 walleyes. So the math says that when you take walleyes during the spawn, you are depleting that population extremely, and this is something that's got to stop. There's also an article in there by Joe Felagy, and he explains how there's nothing in this Supreme Court decision or nothing in the treaties that says that the tribe should be able to do their netting during the spawn. We could tell the tribe that they've got to do their netting in October if we wanted to. Why don't we do that? Because they want to get it over with quickly. They don't want to have boats and nets out there all summer long. I say, so what? They've got to, at some point, the DNR has to say, you know what, we need to protect this fishery, and the only way we're going to do it is if we really super stock this lake like they did up on Leech Lake, and we start pushing these nets into a different part of the year.
I love it. Tim Lesmeister, Outdoor News contributor, blog. Tim, can we take a quick break for a couple of minutes and come back and continue?
Yeah, that would be great.
Passionate sports talk.
If you don't get injured and nicked up again, like we always seem to.
Well, look at the Wild. Look at the Timberwolves. Look at the Vikings this last year. We're cursed. Minnesotans and their sports teams were cursed.
I agree. We're a bunch of softies.
On your sports station, 105 The Ticket.
Boomer here from The Ticket Outdoors. Well, we made it through another long, cold winter in Minnesota. And guess what that means? It's time to hit the open water, baby. And I'm pumped to get back into the Alumacraft T-Pro 195 and get her wet. And I want to remind our listeners, now is a great time to check out the new lineup of Alumacraft boats. I love Alumacraft because they're made right here in Minnesota, and they're simply the best aluminum boat on the water. To learn more about Alumacraft and to find a dealer near you, go to alumacraft.com.
For a jump on pesky weeds, get Preen Weed Preventer from Mills Fleet Farm. Choose from Preen with or without plant food or Organic Vegetable Garden Weed Preventer. Just $11.99 each. Get your laundry clean and smelling fresh with extra laundry detergent and extra fabric softener. On sale, too, for $4.98. After the work is done, relax on an Adirondack patio chair. They come in assorted colors. On sale, $14.99 each at Mills Fleet Farm. Now open in Mankato. Love it.
If you love the outdoors, then you probably have a truck that you love too. Custom Truck Accessories can help protect your truck from the rigors of outdoor activities. They have custom seat covers and floor mats to protect against the mud and dirt from the field. Toppers and tonneau covers to protect your gear. If you're a truck guy, you'll appreciate the knowledge and experience of the Custom Truck Accessories crew. Visit CustomTruckAccess.com or stop by their store to see what a difference being family-owned can make for you.
Now back to Ticket Outdoors, only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
All right, we're back. 6 to 8 Sunday mornings, we rerun this very same program. Lots of good turkey hunting tips in there as well. Podcast available the next day or two on 105theticket.com. And you also may want to grab it again. Our guest, Tim Lesmeister, if you're just joining us or you missed a little bit of it,
yeah,
or you want to hear it again,
stuff.
From OutdoorNews.com. Subscribe to the paper as well. They make a whole bunch of them. Every time I go out to a sports show, they've got 1,000 of these things laying around. I love mine delivered right there to
me too.
Reading it in the big comfy chair is the best way to do it. Yeah. Tim, now these guys, the show doesn't stop, we say, when we go to commercial break. So everybody's like a school kid that knows the answer to 1 + 1 here. They've all got their hands in the air. Where do we start, Boomer?
Well, you know what? I just wanted to give a quick shout out to our sponsors, Zep, before we jump back into the segment with Tim. Dan, Southside Marine, Fleet Farm, Alumacraft, Lakes Trading Company, and Custom Truck Accessories. And to our listeners, don't forget to follow us at Facebook.com/TheTicketOutdoors. So for our listeners who are just jumping in, we're talking about Mille Lacs. We've got Tim Lesmeister on the phone who's tackling some subjects here on what's going on with the population. It's true.
Here we go. The governor's opener is going to be the governor's deal at the
Vermilion,
May 15th,
opener.
Whatever it's going to be.
In, May 8th and 9th.
Now, all of a sudden, the Chippewa have had the opportunity to harvest 2,500 pounds of walleyes out of Vermilion. And in your blog, and we're talking to Tim Lesmeister, who does a lot of things for the Outdoor News, and thank you for being on the air. You wrote here, I suspect many anglers will be fired up about the Chippewa being able to harvest 2,500 pounds of walleyes out of Lake Vermilion. And you said you also predict the tribe won't make a statement regarding angler attitudes because they don't care. Why should they? The treaty says they can net and spear walleyes, so they get to net and spear walleyes. Talk about that.
Well, it's true. You know, I mean, why should they care what the anglers think? It's probably not going to affect most of the anglers on Lake Vermilion anyway. 2,500 pounds is a drop in the bucket when it comes to the amount of walleyes that are in that lake. But the bottom line is what the tribes don't understand is it's not what is actually going to happen within the ecosystem of that lake. It is the perception of what they're doing. And what they're doing is they're netting walleyes during the period when they're spawning, and they're not doing anything at all to restock that lake. If the tribe was smart, what they would do is they would say, we're not going to net during the spawning period. We can get just as many walleyes as we need by dropping gill nets on certain mud flats during the summer months. It might take us a little bit more work, but we'll do that. And what we're going to do is during the spawning period, we're actually going to set up a program where we harvest eggs and we restock the lake with way more fish than what we're taking in our allotment.
Wow.
And you know what? Everybody would love the tribes. The casinos would be packed and everybody would be happy.
Well,
I'll tell you what, since Owen's saying it, I'll say it because it,
I like it.
Yeah, somebody brought this up that he wanted to be your roommate. I'll tell you, not in an apartment. Make everybody envious. Where are you calling from right now?
I'm calling from Minnetonka right now.
Oh, I thought you were, I thought you were up at Bayfield still.
I just got back from Lake Superior. I have a place up on Madeline Island, and I just returned, and I've only been here a short time. I am going to be heading back up there soon because the smallmouth, you know, Lake Mille Lacs used to be probably the third best smallmouth fishery in the country. I would say Sturgeon Bay would have been number one, and it is number one. Shawinigan Bay, number two. There's very little doubt in my mind of that. Mille Lacs easily number three. They've fallen out of the top 10 now because of what's been going on there the past 2 years. Smallmouth bass fisheries in this country that are a lot better than that now. But if you think about that, these were the three top smallmouth bass fisheries were in the upper Midwest, and the reason that they were there is because of the special regulations that they have in those regions that you don't find in any of the southern lakes. Those are gone now.
Tim, let's jump gears here a little bit, and I want to talk about the Minnesota Fishing Opener that's coming up a little bit. Jason, do you have one more question on the Mille Lacs before I shift gears?
Oh, you might not want that.
Go ahead.
Well, no, my question for Tim was, I'd love to get your take on one point that I've made, and I've written some articles on this too, is Mille Lacs Lake is, you know, it's a lot of what we're hearing about is the businesses and the resorts around the area and how we have to support that. One point I've heard brought up several times that I think is a great one is businesses go out of business. If I own my own business, I own a couple different businesses, and if my businesses don't produce money, I go out of business. Nobody's going to come in. The state's not going to come in and force people to buy insurance from my insurance brokerage, et cetera. So that's one thing that I think we have to look at. But as a business, I think what we need to really start talking about is if you look up fishing charters in Minnesota, or you look up fishing launches, rather, is what the word I'm looking for, Mille Lacs Lake has over 40. I challenge people to find me another one in the state. There's right. A couple on Lake of the Woods, whatever. That lake is not, it's being commercially fished, and it's not big enough for that. There's more one of the points I brought up with the DNR is there's more regulation on the ocean commercially fishing wow. than there is on Mille Lacs. And they kind of snicker, but they go, you know, that's a good point. One of the things I think that these resorts have to look at is, you know, they're pushing these launches. They make a lot of money on the launches. And when you have this many launches going on at once, it's putting a tremendous amount of stress on the fishery. One of the number one reason, in my opinion, that the smallmouth fishery has suffered is when you opened up these regulations, these launches went after smallmouth. And they went after smallmouth for fish fries at the resorts. And they're telling many of them, not all of them, but many of them are telling the DNR, because I've been in the meetings where I've asked, and the DNR says, well, they're not targeting smallmouth. And I'm saying, well, wait a second. I'm on Mille Lacs, middle of July, beginning of July, at 1 in the afternoon, and these guys are sitting in 8 feet of water on a rock pile. They're not targeting walleyes.
Yeah.
So they're filling up, and I've talked to people who've been on launches, they're filling up buckets full of smallmouth. They're not necessarily reporting the creel accurately, and there's no regulation for them to report the creel. I'd just like to get your take on that, Tim, a little bit, in terms of what you think the effect that those launches have in the lake and how they potentially should be regulated, and if that can make a difference both in the walleye and the smallmouth fish.
That'll get you in a fist fight up
well,
in that shore.
I think everybody should move away from the windows right now, because a lightning bolt is going to come through there, strike you dead, you're going straight.
I know. I've been threatened by more than one of them.
You're messing with traditions. Those launches have been on Lake Mille Lacs for so many years that they have become a tradition. Now, here's what's going to happen to a lot of those launches, and I see Terry McCoy is one of the guys that's going to spearhead this. They're not going to be fishing much anymore. What they're going to be doing is they're going to be loading those launches up with people. They're going to take them out for lake cruises. They're going to serve them dinner, and they're going to feed them drink. And you're going to see a lot more of this kind of thing going on. You never want to diss the launches on Lake Mille Lacs, because that is a tradition that is so deep in the hearts of Minnesotans that you'll probably find yourself sometime waking up and there'll be a group of individuals outside your door waiting for you to step up and yeah. give you 40 lashes. And
I immediately regret asking my question.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk a little bit. Let's change gears here a little bit, and let's talk about Fishing Opener coming up as we are blessed to have Tim on the phone. Yeah. So not only do we have the Governor Opener coming out, Tim, but I'm pretty jacked because I'm taking the T-Pro out to the Minnesota-South Dakota border, and I'm going to get it wet on Traverse and Big Stone and chase some walleyes up there, and I'm really excited about it right now, because with the warm weather out there and the open water they've had on Traverse and Big Stone, I'm flirting with a water temp, surface water temp. I'm thinking that's going to be getting the walleyes to spawn and hopefully pretty aggressive. But we had John Thielen on the show a couple weeks ago. I can't remember. It was a Northwest Sports Show, and we were talking about Fishing Opener, Tim, and how excited we were because of the way ice has came off earlier this year than it did last winter. Zep, you mentioned last year this day it was 35 degrees.
Yeah.
That we're going to have maybe more of a normal opener here in Minnesota because of the warmer temps. What's your thoughts on that, Tim?
You're absolutely right. This early ice out, I wouldn't call it early, I would call it average ice out, is going to put the fish in a situation where they're going to be right on schedule. I was just talking to Gary Roach today. We spent about, I don't know, 45 minutes on the phone here, and he was telling me that when you get into a situation like this, what you have to deal with is not so much what is a late season or an early season ice out. You don't have to deal with water temperatures being too cold or too warm. Everything's going to be right on target. What you have to deal with is the weather of that actual day. Now, if we get a situation where we have a major cold front come blowing through on opener, which can happen more often than not, then the fishing for every species is going to be knocked back and everyone's going to have to work real hard to catch fish, but there will be a lot of fish caught. If the weather turns out to be a real nice high pressure that rolls in a day or two, real stationary over the state, then, man, it's going to be a boom because, like I said, everything, the walleyes will be done spawning. We'll be after all these post-spawn walleyes, these real aggressive northern pike. We can even fish bass this year.
Hey!
You know what I'm going out there for.
Yeah.
It ain't walleyes.
All right, hey, Tim Lesmeister, thanks for taking some time. We're pretty lucky to have you on. We're going to bother you again, man. Thanks for saying it like it is, outdoornews.com. Get a subscription to it. Tim's got a blog in there and a frequent contributor. Thanks a lot for taking some time, Tim. Oh, Stru,
no,
man.
No, Tim, just want to thank you for being on. I appreciate it. We really do appreciate it. We love your straightforwardness, and I'm looking forward to going up and playing a round of golf in Bayfield with you.
I can't wait to get you up there, and we'll take a day and go out and capture a few of those monster smallmouths out in Shawamigan Bay.
I'm ready, pal.
All right.
There goes Tim Lesmeister, outdoor news writer and a frequent contributor, outdoornews.com. Mike Schnupp, active duty Air Force pro staff manager for G2 Gemini and the season 3 runner-up of the TV show Show of Force, when we come back with Ticket Outdoors.
The NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, only on 105 The Ticket.
Joey Logano just screams out into the lead. McMurray's blocking the second. Matt Kenseth and Kevin Harvick side by side for third.
The world's fastest half mile, the Food City 500 from Bristol Motor Speedway. Tune in for live coverage Sunday morning at 11.
That's the battle for the lead in turn one.
This is Brad Keselowski.
This is Dylan Hart Jr.
This is Jeff Gordon.
This is Jimmy Johnson.
This is Kevin Harvick.
Your home for NASCAR in the Twin Cities is Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Hey, you know what time it is? It's springtime, and it's time to get to Mills Fleet Farm so you can give your yard a cut and a trim. Give the garden a makeover and turn the earth upside down. Plant, fertilize, weed, and feed. Build a wall, a fence, or how about a patio? Then, time to grill and chill. Yep, it's springtime, and it's time to get to Mills Fleet Farm for all your lawn, garden, and outdoor living supplies.
At most boat stores, what you see is what you get, which might sound good, but what you see may not be what you want. See, many big box boat stores get their boats pre-rigged with equipment you may not want in places you may not want it. You wouldn't let someone pick out your wife or your kids, and they're almost as important as your boat. So come to Dan's Southside Marine, and we'll customize your boat to you. Say you're a lefty. You might want your depth finder here instead of there. Or if you're freakishly tall, you might want things at a special angle. Maybe you're a Virgo and you want everything in alphabetical order. We let you choose, even if we think it's weird. Because no matter where you choose to put things, at Dan's you're choosing the best. Motors by Suzuki, Yamaha, and Honda. Brands like Alumacraft Boats and Premier Pontoons. If you want what you see, you know where to get it. But if you want what you want, come to Dan's Southside Marine.
You'll not find a bigger inventory of Premier Pontoons and Alumacraft Boats anywhere in the Twin Cities. Any boat you see online is available for sale at Dan's Southside Marine.
Now back to Ticket Outdoors, only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
I don't know that any of us are going to top Tim's contribution to the show tonight. We can just sort of mellow in and relax now.
Man, I want to have a beer with this guy and hold a conversation and vote for him for governor of Minnesota or something.
Right? Well, next time we got to keep Zeb from asking these launch questions.
He's a ventriloquist. Sounded like
it's
you.
It's amazing.
always ask the question. I say, but you know what, Boomer and Jason and Thane, you guys are younger guys that are involved in the business. Stru and I are just wannabes. We're hanging out for a free fishing trip and a hunting trip here and there. But you guys are in the business. But Tim, like you said, is the old guard. He's been at it for a long time. And so when he says his punch carries some weight to it. He's got a little oomph behind it. So you guys can say, well, this is what we think. This is our idea. Yeah. And people might. But when Tim says it, it really comes with some authority. It's like Dad saying it.
Yeah.
It's like
when
you can say, well, you can complain all you want to your sister
he's
and your brother.
He's got the balls. He's got the balls to say it like he says it.
Yeah.
Most guys
Well, he's
don't.
Got the experience. I mean, you look at Jason, Thane, and myself, and we all have our career paths in the outdoors, and we're all blessed and fortunate to be where we're at. And then we look to folks like Tim that have 30 more years of experience doing what our dream is to do is live our passion. And so his words do carry a lot of weight. And a lot of people listen when he talks. Fair statement?
Oh, absolutely. When Tim starts talking, you just shut up and listen.
Yeah. I mean,
he's been at it long enough that he knows when is the right time to say the thing that's going to push the boundary, and he knows how to phrase it up. He's fair. He's really fair about the way, because you know a lot of times we get focused on one thing or another, but he's good at. He's good at taking both sides.
You bet. Hey, I'm excited to meet Mike Schnupp, active duty Air Force runner through season 3 runner-up of the TV show Show of Force. I might be out of gas now. Staff manager for G2 Gemini. Sorry for that lousy introduction, Mike. Welcome to Ticket Outdoors.
Oh, no worries, guys. I appreciate the opportunity to be on the show.
Talk about Show of Force, first of all, for some of our listeners and some of our hosts that may have not seen the show.
Okay, basically what the show is they take two teams from each branch of the military,
right.
And we compete for the Force-on-Force championship. But more importantly than winning the trophy is we get $5,000 to donate to one of our nonprofit organizations like the Soldier Child Foundation or Veteran Outdoors. Something along those lines, so that way that money goes into those organizations so they can continue to help support, you know, wounded veterans and et cetera.
Very well put, Mike Schnupp, but come on, let's be real. It's a little competitive between
the
branches.
Yeah, you want to win, don't you, Schnupp?
No, and you're right, then that's a great contribution. Oh, yeah. All right, season 3 runner-up. Now I've got to go, I don't know, can I find this on Netflix? Is it on Amazon? Can
all
I go back and
all over the place.
Yeah, okay, because I want to get into this. I'm ex-Army myself. How did the Army fare in season 3?
They were out pretty quick.
That happens. I'm sure season 4 will be a better effort. So when you're talking about this, now I've seen some like these Ranger shows and stuff like that. When you guys are talking about these competitive things and Show of Force, we're probably talking, what was your MOS, your military occupation, or what is it in the Air Force?
I did 9 years of transportation, and then pretty much I was kind of like, well, you know what, I want to change, you know.
Yeah.
And as cliche as it sounds, you know, somebody gave me an opportunity almost 15 years ago now to come into the Air Force, and so I figured, hey, why not give that opportunity to other people? And I switched in 2009 to recruiting, and I literally just re-enlisted today for my last 5 years and got 5 years left, and we'll see where it leads me.
Outstanding. My uncle Jerry Zepp, a recruiter for the Air Force, retired as well, lives out in Rapid City, South Dakota. So very admirable. Pro staff manager for G2 Gemini. Tell us about that. Boom. Well, you guys are pointing fingers at
each
other.
Let him talk about his G2 Gemini thing first, because, hey, Mike, it's Boomer. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, good. How about you, man?
I'm doing good. And talk a little bit about some of the personalities that you work with. G2 Gemini, for our listeners, is our official jersey
that we wear here
at Ticket Outdoors. And so we're thankful to those folks for those jerseys.
We're all wearing our jerseys right now.
They made my bowling shirt.
Oh, all right. Mike, talk a little bit about what you do there for G2 Gemini and who are the folks that you work with on that pro staff.
Oh, man. I mean, really, it's honestly a blessing to work for G2. I mean, it's such a great organization. And, you know, the people that we get to work with, basically, like Boomer was saying, I am the pro staff coordinator, manager, however you want to word it. Basically, G2 has had pro staff for years and years, and it's been kind of more of an informality type thing, and we just really wanted to get something formal so we can, you know, just get everything on paper to kind of give that person a little bit more of, hey, this is kind of what we're expecting of you, and this is what we, you know, expect of ourselves. So that way everybody's on the same page and there's no real second guessing anything.
All right, tell us about the big personalities.
We deal with a lot of personalities. Most of our guys are pretty good. You know, we got JT Kenny, who just won the first FLW Tour event on Lake Toho. You know, Skeet Reese, you know, he just won this past weekend. So we really got some good guys. Dean Rojas, rookies, Jason Johnson and Blake Smith of the FLW Tour. They're both, I think they're going to have some pretty, you know, pretty strong years ahead of them. Michael Neal, he's a young guy from Tennessee. He finished third in the points last year. I mean, he's a pretty solid guy. I mean, we got several guys. Dean Rojas is one of them. You know, Denny Brower, I mean, this guy's a legend. So we got I mean, some other guys as well, but definitely some good mix of personalities. You know, Skeet, you know, Mr. Hollywood, you know, he's a I mean, you know, that bright yellow. I mean, you can kind of see where he's at.
Hey, Mike, this is Steve Struzinski. Thanks for being on the air. I want to talk a little bit more about Show of Force. Before I even start that, I want to tell you that I'm pissed at you. I'm pissed because we've been doing this show for about a year and a half, give or take, and I'm hooked on Jason Mitchell, Tim Moore, Benny Spies, all these guys. Yeah. There's only so many hours in the day. I never heard of Show of Force until today, until Uh-oh. I knew you were going to be on the air.
Yeah.
I sat down and watched one episode, and whatever you want to call it, and I'm hooked. It is amazing. It was one of these. Was if you guys were on the aircraft carrier, the Nimitz, and the Gulf, and then it's. I'm hooked. I'm hooked. There's only so many hours in the day. How many years has Show of Force been going on?
Four years now. The episodes, they just actually aired tonight on the World Fishing Network. I think it was episode 2. And this year they changed it up a little bit. They did. They had kids from the Soldier Child Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
They had them there, and so they kind of made this year more necessarily about the kids than they did, you know, us. I mean, you know, like I said, yeah, it's a competition. Don't get me wrong. I hate the fact that I was runner-up.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like I said, in the end, you know, the money goes to one of those great organizations.
It's a great show.
That's great. Very admirable. Now, talking about Show of Force a little bit, because I got a feeling I might get addicted to it. I get into these kind of shows.
Yeah.
So you've got your Army, Air Force, Navy, Marines. You got Coast Guard in there? Are they competing as well?
Not yet. We actually, the organization is actually the Army Bass Anglers. They just recently opened it up to Coast Guard probably about 6 to 8 months ago.
Okay.
So they might be on the you know, season 5.
Sure.
You know.
Talk about the competitions that take place in Show of Force. I imagine there are multiple competitions. What are a few of them that you do?
I mean, it's just fishing. I mean, that's all we handle. It's the.
I mean, is it just like an open bass tournament? Are you doing obviously if you're out on the Nimitz? Are you doing deep sea fishing? What types of different
it's
competitions?
Basically just bass. Sorry about that. It's just bass fishing. We filmed, you know, in episodes I was in, we filmed on Lake Fork. This year they filmed on Red River. We don't know where the next year's location is. They just kind of pick and choose. And
well, of course you're going to beat the Army, guys. We're busy doing stuff. We're in the field 270 days out of the year. We're not sitting around fishing all day for crying out loud.
Well, the Army actually won season 1 and season 2, so...
Oh, all right. Well, we're back. Yeah. Redeemed. Okay. Well, all right. Yeah. We had to do a little bit of teasing you there. So where are you doing your bass fishing at? I'm just talking about within the season. Is it several weekends? Is it like one tournament weekend? But it's a season.
It's a season. We actually filmed the show in 3 days.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was... I mean, I'll tell you what... You know, people think, oh, filming a TV show, it's going to be fun, it's going to be great. I mean, it was.
Yeah.
But you're up at 5 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. I'm not really complaining. I promise you that. I mean, it was a great time. But there's a lot that goes into it that you don't really realize.
Mike.
And, yes, sir.
No, I was just going to say, Mike Schnupp, Air Force, Pro Staff Manager for G2 Gemini. I've been in radio for 25 years. I dabbled in TV briefly, and it was, you're right, an 8-hour day to get 15 minutes on film. And then I went, yeah, but when I talk for 60 seconds on the radio, it takes 60 seconds. It's real time. Yeah, I'm done. So I realized I wasn't going to be a TV guy, and something about being ugly as well. So,
so Mike, you're full-time active duty Air Force. Where is home for you?
Originally from Pittsburgh. Pennsylvania, and we moved down to Florida when I was about 15, and that's when I joined the Air Force. Went to Minot, North Dakota, Germany, South Carolina, and now I'm here a little bit west of Atlanta.
Were you stationed in Wiesbaden?
I was stationed at Ranstein.
Oh, okay, very good. Yeah, my dad was also Air Force, and he was stationed in Wiesbaden and has some good stories. I think my Uncle Jerry was over there as well. Let's get back to talking about G2 Gemini a little bit.
Yep.
And your involvement, Pro Staff Manager. What do you organize for those guys, and what's take us through a day of being a Pro Staff Manager for G2?
Oh, wow. A day, I mean, we like I said, we deal with several different Pro Staff. We got guys that are always interested in being some part of the pro staffs. I actually also go to the Bassmaster Classic ICAST. You know, I work the booth there and help promote the product, of course. Basically what we do is, you know, we help these guys get their jerseys. We, you know, and make sure they're getting them in a timely manner. make sure they're looking good when they're out there. I mean, they got a lot of sponsors as well that they got to represent and, you know, paying them some pretty good money. And we want to make sure that, you know, they get the best opportunity to display those.
Yeah, let me jump in there for you, Mike, because I think you're being too humble, sir, and that's what I love about you. But G2 Gemini represents some of the largest names in professional fishing that he had mentioned. And I know when you get down south, and Jason can speak to this, and I've learned a lot from ICAST, when you get south of the Mason-Dixie border, I mean, bass fishing is like NASCAR. It is huge, right? I mean, it's a different world. It's like high school football in Texas versus up north. And so these names that he's working with down there, Mike, are absolutely some of the largest names in professional bass fishing. I mean, these guys are knocking $1 to $5 million a year.
Yeah.
So it is a business. So it is quite a feat for him to be a part of that and supporting that group. Mike, what else are you going to be doing this year involved in the bass industry? I know you got your hands all over it between G2, being a movie star on the World Fishing Network television. What else are you going to be doing?
I fished several local tournaments. Actually, this weekend I had a high school contact me to, they needed some boats to fish Lake Nickajack in Tennessee for their team. So I'm volunteering to take these guys out. And, you know, these are young, aspired anglers that, you know, I mean, they didn't have the stuff when I was growing up. They didn't have high school fishing or college fishing. I mean, they can get scholarships to college based off of fishing. And
wow.
You know, if I can do what I can to help them out, I mean, that's what it's about. You know, I mean, the kids and the youth, I mean, that's the future of the sport. And if if we're not working with them and helping them, I mean, we're kind of letting the sport die.
Mike, we're going to close it out here, but Boomer here, I just wanted to say, one, thanks for your service, and it was an honor to have you on the show, and it's a blessing to work with you at G2, brother, and I'll pass it over to Zep.
All right, thanks, Mike, for being on Ticket Outdoors tonight, man. Good luck with everything moving forward, and thank you for your service to our country.
All right, thank you, guys.
Appreciate
all right.
It. You bet. Have a good
night. There he goes. Hey, don't forget, Dave Johnson has a wrap-up custom truck accessories, has their big Jeep and truck show and swap meet every Wednesday till 9 o'clock all through the summer. Jason Homer, Casting for Cures. That's the numeral four, castingforcures.com. Go there. Whether you can make it down to the big event, Casting for Cures benefit, this Friday night at 7 o'clock at the Poor House. You can also get involved with doing some auctions if you're busy Friday night. Right, Jason?
Absolutely.
Bass Utopia, thanks for all your input tonight. Thane Jensen, thanks for bringing the calls in. Thanks for educating our listeners on the Big Turkey Opener. Good luck down in Iowa.
Yeah, be safe, buddy. Thank
you.
Be safe.
Thank you.
And Tim Lesmeister, OutdoorNews.com, a big thank you as well.
And super pumped, boys. I'm going to your home, bringing the Alumacraft. Dan Southside Marine, we're going to be visiting Lake Traverse for the Minnesota-South Dakota border. Next episode on Ticket Outdoors.
From the Mills Fleet Farm Studios, WTVX Lakeville, WRXP Cambridge, WGBZ Eden Prairie. Three signals strong. Passionate sports talk on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. A Cumulus station.
The countdown is on. Fishing season is days away, and Mills Fleet Farm has hook, line, sinker, and more. The Abu Garcia Cardinal S spinning reel is on sale, just $24.99. A two-piece ugly stick light spinning rod is just $14.97. Spiderwire stealth braid line is $4.99 after rebate. Rapala Shad Wrap lures, including our exclusive colors, $4.99 each. And get your fishing license at Mills Fleet Farm, now open in Mankato. Love it.